phone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Believe everything the mainstream media tells you? We don't.
Hold on.
We cover
where
what
is that at?
Doesn't. Welcome to Beyond the Mainstream.
Right here.
Boom.
Boom.
Tin hat,
boom.
Not required.
Oh, not.
I don't mind hearing it. It's not a problem.
There you go, Joe. Ladies and gentlemen, the Inlanders of the Internet. Big Joe.
Yay, yay.
Okay,
I
Big Joe.
I discount that that intro, Ann Landers of the Internet.
Hi, Annie Landers.
Oh, God. Who shows up to give me the Ann Landers treatment? Who's it?
We'll call you Joey Ann from now on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my wife.
Joey Ann.
My, of course it's her. Jesus.
Of course.
Jesus. Ah, Ann Landers, Joey Ann. Hey.
You're cracking up there, Joey. Joey's gone.
It's all my fault. I know. I hear click, 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 click.
Yeah, oh. Joe, if you can hear me,
I'm back.
Hang up.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Back. Okay. Oh, now I hear a reverb.
Now we're even? Okay, we're even.
Okay, well, I don't know. Let me talk. No, there's no reverb.
Oh, there's no reverb now. Oh, okay,
now?
Cool.
Right. Okay.
I
You're
didn't know
good.
There was one before. If you guys have any problem with my phone, let me know. I'll call in on my other phone. It should be better.
Yeah, he's got six more to go to, so we'll find one that works.
Yeah.
He couldn't have called. Hold on. He couldn't have called more than a minute before the show. No, that
hey,
would be
too
much.
Hey, this is my show.
Bad.
I hijack my show.
Go ahead, Joey. Shall we?
Joey Ann.
Oh, yes.
Joey Ann.
All I need now is V. Oh, she'll join right on in with you two. Oh, boy. All right. I'm going to start the show as though these two don't exist, because that's the best way to go, folks. Okay? the show
I
tonight.
I don't exist.
You
I'm
two
offended.
Don't exist. The show tonight.
You're having a show about relationships tonight, and I don't exist? What?
No, it's not about relationships. That's why you said Ann Landers? I said it's about conflict resolution, yes, but it's
now,
also because...
You're breaking up, Joe. You're gone now.
Yeah, I heard the click, click again.
Yeah, he's going to phone number two. He has dropped. Joe will return in just a moment. Maybe I overstated relationships. But I swear.
Yeah, I think what he intended was for conflict resolution, I believe. And but I'm sure that that'll get into relationships too. But
sure. Well, okay. Well, I screwed up. He should have called me or came on more than a minute early to check it out. Okay, let me get Joey Ann back on.
People will get confused. Joey. Lori Ann, Joey Ann.
Yeah.
Make a song out of it.
That's your last name. Well, go ahead, Joey Ann. Oh, God, that might not be Joey Ann. Put him on mute then. Bingo. Well, that wasn't Joey Ann. If you want to join the show,
we're lonely here without him.
Yes, it is lonely. Because he can talk as about as well as you can. So, I enjoy listening to
you. Did
you
have fun last night on the show? I was just going to ask.
Yes, I did. My phone dropped. But it was, I liked it. It was fun.
Yeah, did you drop after the live broadcast? I think so. And then you couldn't call back in?
Yeah, it was after. I know I was laughing at something and was something you and Joe were saying. And then V jumped in and said something and I started laughing and the phone was plugged in and I jerked it off the table and it just disconnected everything. I know.
There was a couple of points there with V that I was just, and V and Joe that I was just like, I was literally about to pee my pants. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. They were funny. Funny together. They should do a show. You three should do a show together. That would be fun. Just a fun show. Joe, if you're here, push one on your keypad. Oh, he did. I think that's Joe. Joe.
That's me. Sorry about that, folks.
That's okay, Joe.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, oh, okay. So you guys were expecting a show about relationships. It's not about relationships per se. As I explained when I was on Donnie's show Saturday, this is as a result of what John Doe was talking about. He was saying that people have confirmation bias, that we all have our ideas of what's right, what's wrong.
Right.
And we need to resolve them. So when we, let's say myself, as a liberal, libertarian, when I have an idea that that's in conflict with a liberal, then we have to resolve that conflict because his or her ideas are going to be diametrically opposed to mine. So there is a way of doing it, I hope. And that's what I was going to describe tonight. It was going to be based upon the corruption that we have here in America. Oh, by the way, am I coming across clearly?
You sound good, Joe.
Okay, good. All right. So of course, relationships, since we have a two-hour show, is probably going to be part of it. It's going to be useful for that, too. But this is not about a relationship show, per se. Now I know why you said Ann Landers. So I'm glad Lori piped in with, this is a show about relationships, and I don't exist. Now I know where you guys have that mindset from. Okay.
Yeah, you heard Mark.
Let me start. I don't give a fuck. Now, see, that's something that we need conflict resolution about.
Okay. Hold on. You got two callers. Let me get Pianki on. And
okay.
We'll get, I think this is our friend. Oh, come on in. I got everything. Who you were just talking about.
Okay.
You're right, Donnie. John
there
Doe.
You are. I know, John.
All right,
Doe.
Good.
I was trying to give
John Doe.
Give the dog a treat.
Hey, John Doe. Hey, Pianki.
Hey, Laurie.
Hey,
John
everybody.
Doe. Hey, Otis. Joe.
Otis is right.
Welcome,
here.
Everybody. So I'm glad you're here, John Doe, because I want you to take over in just a few seconds. I want you to introduce people to the concept that you were talking about on Saturday so that people know what what the show's about. And so before you do that, I want to say thanks again to Donnie for allowing me to be the host of the show so that he and I and everybody else who comes here and all of us who have the same political mindset and those who don't can actually learn from one another. So if you want to go to Donnie's show, it's called Beyond the Mainstream on Saturdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And the phone number is 1-347-324-3752. Again, for the people who will download the show. Oh, don't forget to tweet out that you had a show tonight or will have a show in the future, Donnie, so that your followers, you know, can actually know what's happening about this. Then again, the phone number is 347-324-3752. So welcome, Donnie, Laurie, Pianki, John Doe, everybody else who's listening.
Cinnamon.
And the show. Oh, Cinnamon, too. Yes. Oh, and thanks for giving your husband permission so that both of you can be here and have time to listen, because I know you don't have to work tonight. And so that would be, that's the criteria for Donnie's household. Okay, so on Saturday, John Doe introduced a concept which I think is one of the most important concepts as to why we are in the state we're in today. To me, as you guys know, corruption is the huge overarching problem we have today. It covers everything. John Doe touched upon a concept that is very related to corruption, and I'm going to talk about it after he gives the his particular presentation. And that's how we allow corruption to take place and oppress us. But right now, I'd like to introduce all of you to John Doe. And John, take it away, if you will. Talk about the, how we as people have different concepts in our mind. In other words, different confirmation biases and how they can cause problems. So if you want to, you can repeat the concept that you spoke about on Saturday.
Well, thank you for the floor, Joe, and welcome everybody. Thank you for the time. I'm not sure I remember everything from Saturday. I've slept since then and had several other conversations and meetings and
not
events.
A problem.
So,
yeah.
I'm pretty consistently always thinking about this issue, though. Each and every one of us have our own worldview of how we think things ought to work. But are we giving deference to our fellow man to self-determine their own pursuit of happiness without being conscious that we're actually trying to force them to our own worldview? I mean, it doesn't matter what my view is in life. As long as I'm not hurting other people, I should be able to live my pursuit of happiness, and you or anybody else that's hearing my voice at this particular time, you have the right to self-determine and make up your own pursuit of happiness as long as you're not doing any harm. But the sad part of it is sometimes, myself included, I do want to point this out. I'm on this call and involved in these conversations because I haven't figured it out. But I think everybody's perspective and angle on the issue is important. And we have to be considerate to consider every person's perspective in order for me to continue to grow in understanding and learning how to better work through this problem that we have. But getting back on track to the point that each person's pursuit of happiness is determined by themselves. So therefore, they are only going to know what works for them and not work for them. I can make a suggestion based on what I think would be good, but that's myopic to my own particular experience in life. Well, I can't live everybody's experience in life, so our Declaration of Independence, in my humble opinion, was established to make sure that each and every one of us had that freedom to decide for ourselves what happiness and safety is for us, and we get to decide our own burdens, encumbrances, and obligations in order to make sure that we all are, you know, not railroading each other. And as long as my pursuit of happiness is determined by me, well, I need your input and your feedback to know if I'm actually encroaching. Your word that you used Saturday, I remember, Joe, and it's rightfully used. If I'm encroaching or burdening or overreaching or invading your particular pursuit of happiness, and what my opinion is that the Congress and everybody from administration after administration since at least 1804, so from 1804 up to now, administration after administration, they've got it in their head that they get elected to office and then they get to dictate their particular worldview and the way they think things ought to work on the rest of us. And that flies in the face of our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, because the Declaration of Independence states in the very first paragraph that we, each of us, assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle us. That means our most natural state of existence as a people group is each individual is their own independent agent.
And they have the right, right. And I'm going to cut you off because
okay.
I want to, we're going to have about five, maybe we have about five people on the show tonight, even more. We have Bianca, yourself, Lori, myself, Donnie, and Cinnamon, that's six people. So I don't want to be like Bard's Logic where everybody gets 8 minutes worth of talk time. I only want to limit people to about 2 minutes, 3 minutes at the most, so that they can explain what they have to explain in a nice capsule fashion so that everybody else can join in. And when we don't have people who want to join in, then we can continue on with the, you know, with the dissertation. But right now, I think from what I'm getting from you, everybody has the right to pursue their happiness as proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence, supposedly guaranteed by our Constitution, and yet people are imposing their particular values on us, and the show tonight is about the conflict resolution of those particular situations. So, Pianki, let me give you the floor if you want to respond to anything I've said, anything that you'd like to add, anything that John Doe has said, and then I'd like to go over to Lori, then Donnie and Cinnamon, and then I'll continue on with my dialogue, monologue, after you guys make your input. Pianki, up to you.
Well, Joe, it's a little bit early for me to give input too early into the show. I'm going to hang back and kind of get the gist of how people are rolling. Thank you very much.
Right. Sure. No problem. Lori, you heard John Doe. You heard him Saturday. You heard him now. And even though this is not a relationship show, what's your opinion?
I definitely agree with John Doe. I think one of the challenges that we all face is whenever there's a problem or an issue or tyrannical government, we all have our own ideas as far as solutions to those problems. And I think one thing that is a mistake a lot of people make, myself included, is we think of solutions that are self-serving instead of serving everyone equally as it should, so that we aren't imposing our will on other people that disagree with us, especially by force, right? And so to come up with, when you have very passionate people with very passionate ideas and opinions, it's definitely a challenge to agree with each other, even on parts of it that we can find common ground. It's like we don't even want to find that common ground. People are just too quick to say this is how it should be for X, Y, and Z reasons, but they don't go and look forward to go, okay, well, how is this going to oppress other people or eventually oppress myself? What are the ramifications of this? And let's look at this logically. Let's look at it with rational thinking, critical thinking, instead of through our emotion and our passions.
Well, thank you, Lori. What about you?
I'm starting to weep.
Well, we all should. She said, just like John Doe had said, everything that made sense.
Yeah.
So,
20 minutes later, she was done. I love that about her.
She stopped within 2 minutes. Don't start on her yet. That's
I tried to keep it under 2 minutes.
Thank you, Wally. He's just go ahead, Donnie.
Everybody said. I worked with a lot of liberals at General Motors, as you probably guessed.
Uh-huh.
We had discussions, and definitely weren't going my way, but we didn't get into a fight or anything, and I didn't try to change their mind. They listened, and I listened to them. Listening seems to be the hardest thing of all. Gene?
You are absolutely right. And it's not only just about matters of politics either. And if you're finished, because I don't want to rush you, but I want your wife
to finish. I am finished. Listening.
You are? Okay. All right. Cinnamon, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Well, hey.
Hello, Jenny.
I think it's true, and I think a lot of most people don't even know that they're doing it, that they're even being biased.
Are you hovering over your computer or something? Because you are all of a sudden.
I heard that starting to rattle.
Your
I don't know why you're doing that.
I haven't heard it, but But I guess if Donnie heard it, I guess it's...
It's not me. Let me mute you, Joe, and see if it's you, all right? Hold on.
All right.
Oh, guess what? It's Joey Ann. Joe.
Hey, you didn't even have to bother muting me, because I knew right away. Hey, point the finger at him, because, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to put myself on mute and let the sentiment continue without interruption. So on mute I go again for the 30,000th time on Blog Talk Radio, this goddamn app. All right. Here I go.
Go ahead.
And, yeah, you're gotten all choppy again.
Okay, Cinnamon, you're on.
I was just going to add on to what you said. Most people now don't join a discussion anymore. Now it's they listen to improve their arguments. They're not listening to what the person says. They're listening to be able to speak. I didn't say that right.
No, but I understand. I get it.
Okay, yeah. We're not actively listening to another person's point of view or what they're trying to teach us or whatever they're trying to say to us. We don't listen to what they're saying. We're only listening to how we're going to react to it.
Well,
and I'm done.
So I'm going to...
That's a good point.
I'm going to chime in on what Cinnamon has said. Because to brag, all right, I had a girlfriend at one time who was a hell of a listener, and I was a hell of a listener. Matter of fact, after we had broken up, spoken to her cousin. Oh, wait, am I getting the verb again? Well, let me finish.
No, you're fine. No. What? You're good. You're good.
Okay. So after we had broken up, one of the cousins, had told me that one of the reasons why she fell in love with me was because I listened. And I can tell you that there were nights that we had spent, there were two nights we spent 10 hours on the phone apiece each night. There were other nights, about three or four nights, 8 hours on the phone. And the average time that we spent on the phone was about 2 hours. And I can tell you that none of the after the first, I guess what, 30, 40 hours, there's a psychologist who wrote a book about conversations and relationships. And he was saying that after the first 40, 41 hours, after two people get to know each other, there's really nothing more to talk about that's new under the sun. And he was right. And in my two-year relationship with this woman, we never really talked about anything. Well, I can't say anything. Let's say 95% of the conversations we had were about the same stuff. 5% new, but we knew how to listen to each other. And to dovetail from what Cinnamon is saying, it wasn't because, and I do know people who do act as though they're good listeners, but what they do is they shut up, they let you talk, and as soon as you finish talking, they go right back to where they ended. It was like you weren't there. You know, they weren't listening to you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Donnie.
No, I'm just going to say, Cinnamon says I'm a great listener.
Oh, are you? Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
She just blew your game, Donnie.
Cinnamon.
Oh, yeah. My wife says I'm a great listener. Oh, don't believe that shit, she said.
Honey, baby.
So I got that very nice compliment from my cousins, and we did. She was the only person I know of today who knew how to listen. She didn't wait for me just to shut up so she could continue what she was saying. She listened to what I said. She incorporated it into her particular point of view. I incorporated what she said into my point of view. They exchanged ideas. It was great listening experience. So, and, you know, what Simon was saying is exactly what a lot of people do. They just wait. Well, as a matter of fact, they don't even do that. They just interrupt, and then they go on with their point of view. But then there are those who are polite enough to wait until they finish what they have to say. you know. And so, all right, so we finished with that. If Bianchi wants to chime in,
no,
you know,
I would like to chime
but
in.
But if not.
I got to
okay,
chime
cool.
in, Joe. Okay, Lorianne, the other night when you were on, you told me Joe was gay. I guess he's not. He had a girlfriend. I just want to straighten that out.
I did not.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that?
I didn't say that. See, oh, I'm just trying to stir up conflict in my relationship with Joey Ann.
Oh, yeah, Joey Ann. Okay. Yeah, you know, we don't need any more, you know, with that Joey Ann, we got conflict there, wifey. Okay.
Let's resolve this conflict we have, Joe.
We're going to resolve this shit tonight. But getting back to the listening thing, it's important. Yeah,
I'll tell you something.
Who's trying to?
See, here's the thing. I hear people saying that we should come to some kind of consolidation. I'm not coming to no consolidation when it comes down to the U.S. Constitution. And basically, that's what much of the divisive arguments that you hear going on today. Whether this parent should not have the right to say that they don't want their children to be exposed to CRT or any other derogatory explicit material.
Right.
Whether it's following the law as it applies to border protection. Whether the idea of these excessive taxes and government lands. And no, I'm not going to compromise. And think about it. If you got something that's absolute, why would you compromise? And I'm not talking in anybody's statement, but I just want people to think. Because when you compromise, that means you're going to give up a little.
Yeah.
And they're going to relinquish a little. I say, hell no. A friend, the Constitution ain't worth no friendship to me. Because I have got rid of a lot of them. People say, well, I'm going to block you. But, we're a friend. I say, go ahead and block me, damn it. You ain't no friend if you're thinking that way to me. So you have to take these positions, Donnie. If you are a proponent of the Second Amendment, then you need to wear what
wear
it is
NRA.
That you are a proponent for. Show them that you are a proponent. You just can't, I like the Second Amendment. Shh, shh, shh. Hell no. Speak it loud and broad. Thank
no,
you.
I feel gay. No, I feel gay. But Bianchi's absolutely right, I think. If you're right.
I'll get to that in a second. I know what he's talking about, but when I talk about conflict resolution, yes, there's a compromise of sorts. We agree to disagree on points that both of us feel are to our self-interest, and then we can continue on to those points later on that we disagree about. Now, what he's saying, what Bianchi's saying, that you should not give up, I believe he's saying you shouldn't give up your very important principles in a conversation such as the Constitution, but if two people are going to talk about the Constitution, for example, and they have opposing points of view, they can agree on something that is in both of their self-interest, and then continue from there on a friendlier basis. That's how diplomacy is actually done internationally. There's all countries try to find something that they can agree upon so that when they sit at the table, it reduces the animosity. Now, since I interrupted John Doe, I'd like to ask, have we kind of taken your particular opinion and made it so that it still retains the essence of what you were saying, or is there anything that we said or I said that is kind of contradictory to what you were talking about?
Thank you for the floor.
Go ahead. I didn't know who you were talking to. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, I heard him say John Doe, but did I misunderstand?
No,
you didn't. And it might take me 2 seconds to respond to people because I put myself on mute.
Okay.
And then I have to go grab the phone and unmute myself. So it'll take there's a delay. But no, go ahead, John.
I'll try to see. Go ahead.
See, here's a funny ironicness to this conversation. Something I said back on Saturday made you, Joe, think about a particular context of what I said. Now, whether that was the same context that I was trying to communicate or not, I don't know, because I don't live inside your head to know what that meant. And each person that's been speaking so far has brought their own perspective on something that may be just a little bit out of context than what I was saying. But the point of it is, it's all still necessary and important. But to be more specific and to try to push the context that I was getting to is that we have Congress, I should say, like I was saying, and I was listening to everybody and I was learning and taking note, because I agree with what Cinnamon was saying. Most of us, myself included, we hear other people, but we're really sitting here paying attention to what we're getting ready to respond to what they are saying, not really taking in what they're saying and trying to analyze it as much. Now, we, on this call, you know, because we've grown to kind of get familiar with each other over the last number of years hearing each other talk, we probably have a better rapport than most people that are just meeting each other for the first time. But the point I was trying to make is that since at least 1804, in my humble opinion, every administration, no matter who got into office, they were trying to use the government as a bully, you know, pulpit, battering ram to force their agenda down the throat of the rest of us. And when you've got multiple different people which represent different factions, if you want to try to group people, you know, because there's different people that have different beliefs, and no matter what group you put me in, I still have my own individual. It's like people always want to try to put, are you a Democrat or a Republican or an independent? Well, just because I see the doggone as like a grocery store shopping queue, you pick which one's going to get you the result that you want. And mine is, I want to get through the checkout and get all the stuff I want that's of value and out the door as soon as possible. So I don't care if it's the Republican queue or the Democrat queue or the Green Party queue. I'm going to use that queue to get my belief system representing me, but I don't want to be using it to run roughshod over everybody else. Whereas I hear too many other people, they are using the government as a weapon to run roughshod over others and either steal from them or deny the other people from living their lifestyle. And just because you don't believe like me and I think that what you're doing is a sin and you're going to hell doesn't give me the right to act like God and use the government to force you to not do what I think you shouldn't do. And that's what I'm trying to get everybody to understand. You know, just because I don't drink alcohol doesn't mean I should use the government to force all the rest of you to not drink alcohol. You and I have to learn how to get along together by me giving you deference to the same privileges and immunities. I want the kingdom to decide for myself my own burdens and encumbrances and obligations without doing harm to others. Well, how are you extending privilege?
John Doe, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Like I said, I want to limit people to 2 minutes when they're explaining something so that everybody else does have a chance to respond. So
you did say 3 minutes.
What's your...
2 to 3.
You did? Sorry, John Doe. It's got to be 2, okay, for tonight's show, because we only going to go to 11 o'clock. That's Eastern Standard Time. Maybe over, you know, into archive hour, perhaps. So we have 6 people on the show, as I said before. I want everybody to have a chance to respond to everybody else. Now, what you just finished saying, when Lori responded to you, is pretty much the same as what she had said, the encroachment. And what you had said about the contact that I have versus the context that you were talking about on Saturday, I'm not going to delve into the Constitution per se and the Declaration of Independence as you do. Okay, it'll be part of it. But politicians in general, they do oppress us with their point of view. And I want to get to how we got, to be that way, how we allowed it. Now, before I do that, I still want to go around the panel before I get into my thing. And Lorianne, it seems like he's got pretty much the opinion you've got that you formed on your own and also took from him and while you're listening to him. Anything that you want to say to what he just finished saying?
No, go ahead.
We kind of are really aligned. I don't really have anything to say, you know, against what he said, but and I like the aspect of the active listening, and I think people are right. Like, they're only listening, and then they hear the one thing that they want to comment on, and then completely forget about everything else. And that part of it, it's one of those things where sometimes I'll just jot it down so that I can continue to listen and not focus on what I want my response to be, but continue listening. So I think sometimes it's a distraction as well, as sometimes your own thoughts are getting in your own way of actively listening to everything somebody else is saying.
Well, I think Bianchi hit it right when he said, when you're right, there's got to be a right. You can't give something away if you're right, if the situation calls. This isn't like a marriage where you give and take. I'm talking corporations, government. Think if you're right, you're right. Like he said, the Second Amendment, there's no getting this bullshit about assault weapons. That's wrong. That's just BS. And what we
can you be more specific? What do you mean about
AR-15s, if they look like they're black, if they're black, painted black, and with a black scope, they do look menacing, but they're not assault weapons. And one idiot senator said, they used those in Vietnam. No, they didn't. No. M16s are...
No, they did not.
What's that?
I said, you're right. No, they did not use AR-15s in Vietnam.
No. If they did, they would have lost more than 58,000 plus people, because it's not an assault weapon. It's just a rifle. That's all it is, a rifle. Painted black. And that's got everybody up in arms. If it had a brown stock and a little brown underneath the barrel, it would look like a 30-06 or a 30-30. And then they probably wouldn't say anything, would they? But it's all black. It looks menacing. And all you hear on two stations that I click on once in a while is assault weapon. Bianchi goes squirrel hunting with his AR-15. I'm not that good of a shot, but
I want to comment once you give me an opportunity to.
Well, you go right ahead. Go right ahead.
In a second, there, Del, because sentiment. I want sentiments also her feedback, and then Bianchi's, and now I'll get back to you, and then I want to start on the reason why I'm here tonight. Go ahead, sir.
I'd like to know that.
I don't have anything at this moment.
Okay, Bianchi.
Well, you know, when it comes down to coming to an agreement, me and the opposing faction, we both sit down. I give him a book, a copy of the Constitution. I have a copy of the Constitution. We turn to a certain page, and we both read 14 words. We both read 14 words. I say, don't read no more. Just right here. Put them more. The right of the people. The end will shall not be inferred. I say, so what is it about this that you don't understand?
There you go.
That's all. You don't have to take it any further about how it saves somebody's life. You don't have to take it any further about how you can't use it to shoot watermelons in target practice. That's it. Just read these 14 words and tell me what is it that you don't agree in these 14 words.
Thank you, Joe.
You're right.
Okay, Joe, it's up to you, and then I'm going to get into my spiel. Go ahead.
For the floor again. Yes, see, to push the thing a little further, I'm not sure I understand. First of all, let me ask a question. I'm not sure I understood what you were saying a while ago about you don't want to get into the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Well, the whole founding of our country is predicated on that, so you can't find conflict resolution in the problems that we're having in our country when they actually are rooted in corrupt governing. So I have to get to the Constitution. But the point that everybody's making is true.
Okay, let me interrupt for a second. When I said you, I didn't mean myself or you. You, that's your particular bailiwick, is the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. I was talking about myself. I'm not going to get specifically put a lot of time onto the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence because I want to combat the general idea of corruption. And since that's your bailiwick, you go right ahead and discuss it all you want for, 2 minutes at a time. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, just stop me when you want me to stop, because I'm not timing this. I'm just trying to make sure that I continue my train of thought in helping us figure out a way to move forward as a United States people of America who actually care about the other person living out their happiness without being railroaded by others. Whether you agree with my lifestyle or not, I need to respect you to decide for yourself what yours is going to be, as long as you're not harming and hurting and depriving other people or encroaching on other people. But to get back to the point, whenever Donnie was talking about the gun control and Pianki further illustrated another perspective on it, when you look at the fact that the Constitution is predicated on the fact that each individual, per the Declaration of Independence, is supposed to be a free person with independence and liberty, that they get to decide for themselves their own burdens, encumbrances, and obligations. Well, if we're all supposed to be equal in governing, meaning that we all have the same privileges and immunities to decide for ourselves our own burdens, encumbrances, and obligations of governing, then that means that no government or no person or no entity group, whether it be a bureaucracy or whatever, has the right to dictate to you or I or anybody else what they can or cannot have. It has to be a mutual agreement situation, just like when you're buying a car or you're selling a building. You can't force the person to sell to you at a price that you want. You have to negotiate that. They can't force you to buy it at a price that they want you to buy it for. You have to negotiate it, and that's the way governing is, because we're joint owners in unity of governing. You own the governing of you. I own the governing of me. When the two intersect, now we are joint owners, and we have to mutually figure out how we're going to move forward without doing harm to each other. Otherwise, we're going to continue to fight. And so whenever
you
look at
the... Thank you,
John.
Thank you.
Man, see, we're not going to get anywhere if we don't get the train of thought completed. But thank you. Back to you.
Let me answer that. When a person is going to explain something, not just talking about a story, they really, in my opinion, should be able to, in no more than 3 minutes, encapsulate they are talking about. Okay? Because, yeah, you're right. We're only going to do 2 minutes, 2 minutes, around, around, and around. However, when we get down to trying to present our particular point of view about something, no matter how complicated it should be, I believe that for the sake of a talk show, people should do it in 2 minutes, 3 minutes tops, so that everybody else can get a chance to talk in and to understand what the other person's saying. So I think people have to do that. Otherwise, we've we've talked about the same things over and over and over again on Donnie's show for a long time. So we should know, you know, if not precisely, at least generally, what everybody's, you know, point of view should be. And if we don't, then hopefully by listening, we will find out. Now, the topic of this particular show tonight is about corruption in general, how we got that way, and why we got that way. And it was because of John Doe, his particular statement on Saturday, with regards to the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, encroachment, and all that. That got me thinking about it. How do we, if we can't resolve the conflict with another person, then, you know, we should at least take away from their point of view what is meaningful, what is right, as Bianchi was talking about. What is right? Don't give up what is right. Now, Bianchi gave an example of about, I think it was probably the Second Amendment, 14 words. In my point of view, just to get back to the Constitution in particular, I don't consider anybody to be an expert on the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence unless they fulfill a certain criteria of mine. And that criteria is, have you had meaningful debates with other people who believe that they're right? Have you published your opinions? And have you read the private and public writings of the Founding Fathers? Because the Constitution was written by them using their words, their terminology, for their reasons, and they're supposed to be interpreted by the Supreme Court according to what the Founding Fathers meant the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, to be. There are a lot of people who believe that they are experts in this particular field. But how do you know? How do you know anybody's an expert until they actually have, what, debates? And then using conflict resolution, using listening skills, critical thinking, try to find out what is right, what is wrong. Now, how did we get this way? Why do we have corruption? What is corruption? Corruption to me means that people that we elect to represent us, I don't consider, they are leaders, but I don't consider them to be the leaders that they believe they are. They're supposed to govern according to the Constitution as written for and by and with the intentions of the Founding Fathers. When the Supreme Court, as a matter of fact, we shouldn't even know that of the 9 members of the Supreme Court that they're liberals or conservatives. All of them should have the same thinking skills and, in my opinion, should come to the same conclusions by reading the same documents, by knowing what the Founding Fathers meant, and using logic to come up with that conclusion. Logic is logic. I once had a discussion with a buddy of mine. He says, well, my logic is different than your logic. I said, you don't have your logic. I don't have my logic. Logic is logic. There's a certain protocol that you follow in order to come to certain conclusions. The Socratic method, the method instituted by Aristotle, et cetera. So with regards to or anything, you know, what is right? Let's get to the Second Amendment for a second. I don't want to give up the Second Amendment, somebody might say, you know, because the Second Amendment wasn't there just for hunting. It's there to protect me against the government. Well, it's there to protect us against everybody. Also, it came to mind, just because something is written in the Constitution and it's legal doesn't mean it's morally right. For example, you guys should read the Greek Constitution. I read this, and I almost didn't believe it. And the Greek Constitution actually has in it that the people who are elected to be the representatives of Greece, they cannot be prosecuted for a crime as long as they are, you know, the members of that particular parliament or congressional body. Isn't that something? If you're elected to be whatever the title is and you commit a crime, you can't be prosecuted for it. So if you're going to be a member of a country, a leader of a country, and you can't be prosecuted for a crime, doesn't that mean that you're going to have more of an incentive to commit crime? I would think so. It's legal, but is it moral? No. So getting back to what I wanted the show to be about, the corruption value of process. These people that we've elected, them trusting in them to represent us for our good according to the Constitution, because we believe that the Constitution has the answers. I don't believe that the Constitution does have the answer, because it's Article 1, Section 8, which gives Congress way too much power. Okay? General Welfare Clause. They can do anything they want. Just as long as they say it's the general welfare, and if it's backed up by the Supreme Court, we're stuck. We've got the vaccine. We've got the lockdowns. We've had voting fraud. Corrupt government. So how do we find, how do we get that way? Because we believed them. We didn't use critical thinking to discern between fact and fiction and the propaganda that was given to us. Now, before I go on more of my particular spiel, anybody want to chime in, please do. Anything they disagree with, agree with, please do. And if not, I'll continue.
I got a lot to say, but I'm not sure there's time enough to justify it.
Okay. So that comes back down to conflict resolution again. How do we get to be so gullible? I already stated it. We believe what they say. We don't use critical thinking. If we use critical thinking in talking to somebody and they have a different point of view, can't we show them that, hey, you know, I understand where you're coming from, but I don't think that where you're coming from is exactly the right thing that you should believe. And if we do it diplomatically enough, then maybe they might listen enough. But then again, I think we all know that if we try to talk to certain people and they don't listen, they don't want to listen, that our viewpoints go over their head or underneath the radar, and either they don't care, don't want to care. But this particular show is about how we can do it, how we can listen to them, and how we can discern from what they're saying for our benefit. Maybe they have, you know, an acorn of truth in the Communist Party, in Marxism, in abortion. Everybody has a different point of view about something. But not everybody is always completely wrong. So the listening skills that we need, we have to develop that. And when we do, we can discern between truth, fiction, wrong, right, and use that particular analysis that we come up with for our benefit. So go ahead, Dan. Try to make whatever you want to say in about 2 to 3. You know, 2 minutes is a long time for somebody to talk about something which they ostensibly know about. Do I go? Okay, John, no? Okay.
It's not so quiet.
Oh, all right. I didn't know because you were saying that to me. You cut out every blue moon and certain words get chopped up, so I couldn't make out exactly who you
really
were referring to.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn, is my app fucking up again? Am I getting choppy?
No. It didn't mess up on my end. I didn't hear it this time.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
Well, gee whiz, I got so much stuff. It's trying to get back to conflict resolution. It starts with allowing each individual person to work and operate in good faith on how we discuss moving forward in our conventions of decision-making to apply to the rules, laws, process, and procedures that we all are going to hopefully hold ourselves in true obedience to. Otherwise, if you use force, you're only asking for a butt-kicking. And all we continue to do is keep telling each other, my ideas are better than yours, so you better listen to me in order to get this on track. And that doesn't work. Nobody cares about what I think or what I know unless it aligns with what they already agree with. Now, on the you know, certain minute chance that I might say something and they actually cared enough to actively listen and it made sense, then they changed their mind, which I've done thousands of times throughout my life, because I was willing to listen to other people and understand where they were coming from and take it in the right context and then apply it. And that's where I keep getting back to: the root constitutional system is based on the Declaration of Independence. So no matter how corrupt any one of us think the Constitution is, if the things that we're reading in the Constitution do not support the spirit, hope, and promise of that Declaration of Independence, that it's a perverted interpretation. So we have to make this stuff clear and get back to the Declaration of Independence and your right to coexist on this planet without being harmed by your fellow man and still be able to realize your dreams of, you know, deciding your own burdens and encumbrances and obligations. Otherwise, we're just going in circles. Because if, for example, if the gun rights that, you know, Pianki and Don was talking about just a bit ago, if you really look at the Declaration of Independence, we're all equitable, free, self-governing people, then that means that all of these people that keep saying, well, the police can have weapons and the military can have weapons, well, then they've just violated Article 1, Sections 9 and 10 of the United States Constitution that says that each person, there's no title of nobility. What does no title of nobility mean in your mind, or whoever's mind, if you're hearing my voice? If you think that means that you aren't equal to everybody else in deciding your own burdens and encumbrances, you know, obligations of governing, then you've relegated yourself to a second or third class citizen, and you're not equitable. You're not equal in governing. I'm not saying equal in outcomes or equal in, you know, results and stuff, but you're equal in deciding your own burdens, encumbrances, and obligations of the rules, laws, process, and procedures that you will be burdened, encumbered, obligated to. Yes.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so what I'm getting from you, and which I think you've been talking about ever since you've been, you know, showing up on Donnie's show, is that the Constitution is based upon the principles of the Declaration of Independence, and the principles therein mean that everybody has the right to pursue whatever is their particular happiness to them, just as long as they don't encroach upon the rational rights of other people's pursuit of happiness. Am I right so far?
Based on what I understand you to say, if I understand the true context, yes, 100%.
Okay. And that's a libertarian value. We libertarians believe that you can do anything you want, but, you know, your right to do whatever you want ends at the other person's right to not have your right, which you believe the, you know, you think you have, to encroach upon his right. For example, property rights, fences. Where my fence ends and your fence begins, that's your property, my property. Whatever I want to do on my property, as long as it doesn't go over to your property, hey, why not? But if what I want to do on my property goes over to your property, we're going to have a problem. And that's where conflict resolution has to come in. Now, for an example, Monsanto. Monsanto had seeds. At one time, they must have bribed the court, because I think people here remember when the seeds of Monsanto got blown from their property onto the neighboring farm's property, those seeds, therefore, if they grew in the ground of that other property, if they grew whatever it was, then not only did the seeds and whatever was grown from them belong to Monsanto, but I think part of the property that the seeds fell on also belonged to Monsanto. No, I may be wrong about some of the particulars. Does anybody remember that particular case?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I do remember it. It was a while back, but I do remember that case, yeah.
What case?
And others like it.
Bianca, you spoke first. What was your opinion about
that?
Well,
what you basically said is true. Somebody accidentally bird could have ate a seed, flew over on the other guy's property and deposited through excrement. Not saying that the person stole it, but that's how they went over and done the investigation. People represented Mount Sentinel. They said, hey, here's some of our seeds. So what you said is true.
So, Lori, what'd you have to say?
Lori.
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking real quick.
Trying
to find a specific case. But I did find an article saying the Monsanto sued small farmers to protect seed patents, of course. The agricultural giant Monsanto has sued hundreds of small farmers in the United States in recent years in attempts to protect its patent rights on genetically engineered seeds that it produces and sells. So, yeah, so, and a lot of those weren't even deliberate. So, that, I mean, there's, and I remember reading several cases where it was, you know, the farmer that they're suing, you know, it's their seed that propagated on their land and infected their crops. You know, they didn't want the seed. They didn't steal the seed, but Monsanto sues them anyway. And that is, in my mind, unconstitutional. It should be reversed because it's the farmer that Monsanto's GMO seed polluted. The farmer has the right to sue Monsanto for that, not the other way around.
Yeah, they trespassed and invaded the farmer's land.
I thought it was the other. I didn't know that Monsanto had sued. I thought that the farmers sued Monsanto. But, okay, if Monsanto sued them, look at what we're doing. Again, something is legal.
Well, let's look at this a little bit further. Mm-hmm. We got to think broad when you're dealing with these characters. What are they trying to do with gun manufacturers now? So if a criminal takes a gun and go out and kill a bunch of people, now you're going to sue the gun manufacturer, those who made the bullets? It's that same thing that Monsanto's done. Same thing there. Same thing as what they're trying to do to gun manufacturers.
You're right.
So it's these mindsets that's behind these actions that need to be further scrutinized and analyzed. They need to be analyzed under a microscope. Go ahead.
Exactly. Precisely. And they have to be scrutinized under a microscope by the people who have to use their powers of discernment. There's an analogy with the gun manufacturers where somebody had said the other day, well, okay, if you're going to do that with the gun manufacturers, then why not anybody who uses a knife and a fork, let's take away the knives and the forks from people from those who get diabetes because they ate the wrong types of food. Let's take away the food from the choices of people who want to buy that particular food, even though they do
get them orders.
Use that. Go ahead, Donnie. Use that example.
No, I said, General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, Toyota, Honda, Volkswagen. You can name them off. They could be sued, right? Getting wrecked.
Sure. Yeah. Anybody can be sued for anybody. Okay? Yeah. Now.
Look what they've done to cigarette manufacturers.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And knew it. For how many years did they know it caused cancer? I can remember cigarette commercials where doctors were sitting in their easy chair in their den smoking a cigarette, telling you how mild and how full-bodied and all this other horseshit.
Candy cigarettes with the red tips on them.
Yeah, we got those at trick-or-treat, yeah. Want to sue the damn neighbor.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was those who had discernment, you know, even though lawyers get a bad name, a lot of lawyers deserve it. They took a look at the data. I mean, that was probably very, very hard to get it from the cigarette companies and found out that the cigarette companies knew that the chemicals that they were putting in, they knew it. They knew it was causing cancer, but they did it anyway. Same thing with Johnson & Johnson with that talcum powder case. They knew that the talcum powder that they were pushing had chemicals in there that would cause problems to women's health, and they pushed it anyway.
So
that's part of
the
propaganda.
If conservatives stand, conservatives put themselves in a box. They put themselves in a little old box, 4 foot square ring. And they get their heads popped everywhere they turn. But they don't know how to turn around the mess that has been put out there by the very concerns that's attacking them today, like we just mentioned. Cigarettes, ammunition, guns. You got to go after those people tit for tit, not tat for tat.
No, I agree. You got to, if you're going to go after one, you got a case against almost everybody that sells anything.
Mm-hmm. But then again, when I go on my monologue, anybody who wants to interrupt, go right ahead. So I'm thinking, how did we get to this particular state? Because we believe the mainstream media. We don't think it's corrupt. We do know that the other guy, the other senator, the other congressman, they're corrupt, but not our guy, not the guy we vote for. My guy is the great guy. Right?
No, all of them
we all think
corrupt.
That.
No.
Go ahead, John.
We all don't. I don't. They are all corrupt. I don't think that my guy is a good guy.
Who do vote believe that their guy, since they keep reelecting them. I believe that all, and I've said this publicly on Donnie's show and other shows, I think all of them in Congress are scumbags because they allow themselves to be bought by the lobbyists or they're blackmail. I don't consider them scumbags if they're black. Well, yeah, if they're blackmail. I don't consider them scumbags if they're extorted. You know, if somebody threatens their children. I mean, take a look at what happened to Rand Paul. You think his ribs broken by the neighbor was just an accident? It's very possible that neighbor could have been paid to do damage to Rand Paul to teach him a lesson. And then when he and his wife went out for dinner and got surrounded by what the mainstream media says are the Trump supporters, you know, the right-wing extremists, but was actually surrounded by left-wing extremists. Did you guys see any pictures of that? They had him up against the fucking wall.
Yeah, well, that was a front rally at the Capitol or something outside. That's in Washington, D.C., where that happened.
A Trump legal rally, by the way.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. Wait a minute, Donnie Joe. Wait a minute, Laurie. Wait a minute. You just had a Juneteenth festival in D.C. that the people, these were blacks, didn't have no permit to have it. Out breaks a shootout. One kill, three injured, two police shot.
Yeah.
Where is the mayor where is Bowser being held accountable? Where is the D.C. City Council being held accountable? It seems like a lot of illegal stuff is going on in D.C. right about this now. Whether the illegal detentions, this illegal trial, then this group is allowed to have a unpermitted? You mean an unpermitted where the city don't give you a permit to carry out your actions? Why is it? Because it was Juneteenth and a black group? That's what I see. So why do conservatives just sit back and let this stuff go unchecked like this? That should be high water come hell over this. People should be screaming from their damn graves.
It goes down.
Now, who's
going to
be accountable for this kid's death? Wait a minute. Joe Biden signed the holiday, which really isn't what it's supposed to be. So is he not responsible for this? If it was Trump, you better believe he would be responsible for every shot that was fired.
Yeah. Yeah, you would.
Not talking about Trump versus Biden and anything. We, as conservatives and libertarians, we have a point of view. Now, I remember when Tooley used to come to your show, Donnie, and
right.
he asked a very poignant question about maybe about a year ago or so, because he was a conservative. And he said, how do I know, quoting him, how do I know that my viewpoint as a conservative are right? And I remember Jeannie chiming in and saying, well, because you use critical thinking. Do we? Just because we're conservatives and libertarians, do we?
Mm.
Are all of our viewpoints entirely right in all situations?
Mm.
We assume so. But then again, when we get into conversations with liberals, they assume that their point of view is right. So how do we discern
yeah.
that? We have to know, you know, how to ask questions. Play the devil's advocate. How do you know, young man or young woman, that, you know, abortion is right? Or how do you know abortion is wrong? I had a discussion with somebody the other day, and I wanted to, and we were talking about abortion, women's rights, men's rights. And I said to this guy, I said, look, what I would like to have is, because when women say, hey, honey, as they've done, don't worry about it. If I get pregnant, because, you know, you don't have to wear a condom, but if I do get pregnant, I don't want children either. Neither do you, as you've said to me, and I will have the abortion. Not a problem. And the man says, okay, cool, I'll pay for half of it. Not a problem either. And they both agree. Okay? Now, if they've agreed on it, now she gets pregnant. She allows the guy to have sex with her, no condom. Gets pregnant and then says, baby, I know what I told you, you know, 9 months ago, 10 months ago, but I fall in love with our baby, and I want to give birth to the baby. Now, the guy had no fucking choice whatsoever. It's my body. She can give birth, and if the guy's making a good amount of money and she's making a lot less than him, she can get him for child support, even if they're not married. Now, is that fair and equitable? And I'm using that as an example. Is it? If you have a contract, and this is what I argue with the guy, but the guy says to me, listen, you have a responsibility to get the girl pregnant. I said, if you have a contract with that girl, even if the law permitted a written contract, he says, because it's a gift from the Almighty. And I said, well, okay, you can believe in God if you want to. I don't. I believe in contracts. I believe that people who claim to be thinking adults have to be held accountable for being thinking adults. If you say yes, and then all of a sudden you can arbitrarily change your mind and say no, then what good is a contract? How do you establish trust? Well, you've got to maintain your responsibility because it's a gift from the Almighty, he kept saying, okay? So the thing is... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to throw in the caveat. In almost any contract, now, whether you agree with this concept or not is another story. But that goes back to the whole context thing that I'm trying to point out, is that who gets to decide your burdens, encumbrances, and, you know, obligations? It's only you. But we keep giving deference to these people in Congress that continue to treat us like legislative slaves, representing us like pimps represent prostitutes. But anyway, on that particular contract type deal, when there's information that was not appropriately disclosed up front for you to make a well-informed decision about that contract, then it makes that contract null and void because they've done deception in order to trick you into being party to that contract.
No, that's true. I mean, that's also being enforced by, you know, by judges who aren't corrupt. So that's true. But the reason why I brought up this particular situation is
not
because...
Not in government. It's not. They lie to us all the time and trick us.
When you sign a contract and both people are informed of the conditions of that contract and it's proven that both parties are well-informed and there's no deceit involved, then honest judges do enforce that contract. That's what I was saying.
But then why is it that our Why is it that our school system is being used as an indoctrination center and not teaching any of our children to grow up as adults that are able to enforce their God-given rights through the Declaration of Independence?
Well, I think it's because people sit on their butts, John Doe, and let others or expect others to do what they're supposed to be doing themselves. Now, that is a problem. It's just a complacency. This have a reach point of everything is cool, but everything is not cool. Look how ridiculous what had just went on in Georgia in the Democratic primary. The Democratic primary. Well, you had this one candidate. The ballot had three people's names: Lauren Alexander, Marsha Arson, and Michelle Longspear. She came in last with 3,031 votes. And in her own district, she got no votes. Now, come on, now, you know that there, and she had to vote for herself. Come on. But no, she was wise enough to do the things that she done in order to take notes and even pictures that raised the issue to call a recount on June the 1st. And guess what? They recounted the votes, and she came in first with 6,651 votes. To throw hot sauce on the bacon rind, they also found a candidate that wasn't on the first go-round, Donald Broussard. There my name is. Why come it wasn't on the other one? The other one had three candidates. The recount had four. Him was added. Why come he wasn't on the initial? These people have gone completely plum wild, man.
Yeah. It is as an example of corruption.
And this is a Democratic. Wait a minute. This is a Democratic primary. Michelle Longspears is a white female. No news mentioned anything like that. I had to get out with my Sherlock Holmes microscope magnifying glass to find out what she looked like.
That sounds like a repeat of Bernie Sanders losing the, you know, because of the superdelegates in the DNC to Hillary Clinton.
Again, back to corruption again. It's always about corruption. Now, I want to say that when you would ask the question about how does that conform to the school system not educating our kids properly, well, it doesn't. The contract is a separate issue. Unless you're going to talk about a social contract with the public school system. All right? So I think most people would agree that if you're going to enter into a contract, which you do sign, and if both parties of that contract are well-informed and there's no deception involved, then the people who sign that contract, the terms that they agree to, should be carried out. I don't know how that relates to the school system that you're talking about. Well, again, unless it's a social contract.
No,
but,
I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead, and then I want to talk about the generalized corruption. Go ahead.
No, I was just referring to, because the conversation, the way it was going about, you know, the legal system doing XXX, and I'm like going, well, you know, if we're looking at contracts and the legal system doing XXX, it sure didn't do that for our children, and most of us, myself included, I didn't learn about a lot of this stuff till well after I was out of school. But anyway, the point goes back to the very pretty rights of self-governing of you. You're being defrauded of. They've legally destroyed, or they've destroyed the legal effect of your private property, the self-governing of you, and you don't even realize it. And they're committing extrinsic fraud, and for whatever reason, nobody understands this, and I try the best I can to explain it, but until we get to the point of understanding, nobody in office gets to use the power of the government to burden and encumber and, you know, obligate you, then it don't matter. They're going to continue to lie and cheat and steal and destroy your private property, the self-governing.
Exactly. Now, one day on Donnie's show, or maybe even on this show, how much time do we have until? We have an hour, a little less than an hour. We might want to talk about the self-governing principle that you're talking about with regards to the Constitution and Declaration of Independence. But, yeah, it's all about corruption. In other words,
But how do we get this way? Did we not entrust to certain representatives by electing them, okay, even though they've been selected, we did elect them based upon their ability to make us trust them to represent us according to the Constitution, which John Doe says is based upon the Declaration of Independence. Can anybody say that when you elected somebody or voted for somebody and that person got elected, that you trusted them? Can anybody not say that? I think
well,
all
see,
of
that's
would
what
say.
That's where the problem lies right
say,
there.
I know. That's why that's the point. That's what I'm trying to get to, is mm-hmm. that how do we get to trust them? We got brainwashed. We should not
vote
for
you.
The person. Hmm? Go ahead, Pianchi.
They bamboozled you, Joe.
Yeah. We should not vote for the person with the bushiest hair or the prettiest face. Yeah. So how do we not do that anymore?
The way it's going now is asshole backwards. It is. It's asshole backwards. You know, it's like one testicle said, like one testicle said to the other, don't worry about the asshole behind us, the prick in front of us that we following. It's asshole back. You're not supposed to elect somebody and let them go and exercise their free will and hard-given convictions, as they like to say, when they get to office. They should be going on a mission. They should have their marching papers. And if they don't care about, get their ass out.
Agreed. But how do we, first off, we have to learn how to make sure that the people that we vote in, unless people don't agree with that system, I happen to agree with them. This is a republic. So as a republic, even if we're based upon some other kind of constitution, as long as I have the power to elect somebody that I believe is there for my benefit, and my benefit means don't encroach upon my, I'm not going to say God-given rights, because I don't believe in God. I believe that as a human being, I believe that if I were born on another planet, I would still have the same rights for self-governance, for me to pursue my happiness as long as I don't bother with somebody else's rights. I don't encroach, go over the wall of their rights. So how do we, that's a discussion, how do we discern? How do we make sure that who we vote for is the right person?
Well, you know, and not to be, you know, hogging the show, but the question is pretty much we spoke on how this has to go back to the infant stage of a citizen.
Okay.
It gets back to you educating that child. When you let, and you just made an issue of it, that you let, you become complacent, you allow somebody else to educate your child with whatever ideology that they perceive is right. That is totally ridiculous. And you end up with what you got. We're going to end up sitting on a fence butt naked wondering what the hell happened.
Well, what you're saying
look
is...
Look at Elon Musk's child. He was wanting to change his last name. Where did he get that idea from?
Where did he get what? I didn't hear you. He got chopped up.
Elon Musk's child, one of his children, wanted to change their last name.
Oh, okay.
Over some of this
something.
Intersex or something. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, that is what John Doe was talking about, and what I've and other people have talked about, and that academia, high school, middle school, junior high school, that's where they're indoctrinating our kids. They're brainwashing them to believe certain bullshit, like, what is a woman? Is gender fluid? Is transsexual moral, immoral? Is abortion moral, immoral? Nobody knows the answers. So how do we remedy that?
Well, we all say good things. John Doe's saying good things. Everybody says good things. But the one thing that disturbs me the most, when we're having these discussions, no matter if it's on a social media, or no matter if it's on a podcast like we're on now, where in the heck is the children? Why are you adults making these decisions today that your child children is going to have to live with in the future.
Yeah.
It would hit them like a storm. They don't know what happened because they wasn't there to be in on the discussion to get a general idea so they could recognize what's being said when they become adults. I heard that from mama and daddy.
Yep, you're right.
All right, we know what the problem is. We only got about – go ahead, Donnie.
No, I heard that tonight, pretty much the same thing tonight from a lady swimmer at Penn State that was on to, you know, they changed some laws. Now you got to be 12 years old before they can change, you know, go out for swimming, or you got to be 12 and under or over, and you got to have a sex change before you you can play in sports. 12 years old. You can believe that? I guess
that
was...
Wait a minute. Let me see if I understand you right. You're saying that there's a law that a child has to change their sex?
No, they don't have to. They don't have to.
What they would have had, what they would have had done for the governing body would recognize a person who say that they are female when they 16 and they're biological male. They would have had to have changed to that idea before they was 12 is what they're saying.
Yeah. You get, well,
oh, okay.
I took it as a sex change. I thought the gal said, well, she was in college, so I don't know. She might have said something. I'll have to look
well,
that
go
up.
Well, on the, I think it was University of Pennsylvania, the guy that won the transsexual, not even a full transsexual, just says he's a transsexual. I don't even know if he's taking hormone treatments. And he's breaking all kinds of world records for the females. And his teammates at the beginning didn't mind because they were winning. But a whistleblower teammate says that he, she is insane. Don't like the fact that this guy, girl, or it is on the team. So we all know that part of it is to create chaos and division. My question again for tonight is, how do we discern between what we're told as being fact or fiction, and what do we as the American citizen, what do we do about it? We know the problems, at least we think we do. How do we delve deeper into the problems if we don't completely know all about the problems? And then what do we do? Conflict resolution, folks. What do we do?
Well, in my humble opinion, the Constitution has to be interpreted through the Declaration of Independence, that spirit, hope, and promise. But we do have to have good faith, you know, operators. And so we have to figure out how to weed out the BS. The people that want to manipulate the system, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence set up to help make sure that any Hitler or King George at that time was not able to manipulate the individuals that they were supposedly over. Well, in America, you know, we individually are the kings of our own castle. We are the kings of our own domain. We own our private property called self-governing of me. You know, I own my self-governing, you own your self-governing. And if the other people throughout the world, or America at least, don't get to understand this principle that you and you alone decide your burdens, encumbrances, and obligations, period.
Let's say, okay, why don't you go further into that? Because you've said that a number of times on different shows. Why don't you elaborate on that?
For example, you know, in our current situation, people pass rules, laws, processes, and procedures of governing, and they expect you to abide by them, whether you got your right to mutual assent or not. Your will was not represented, not included, you know, reciprocally, mutually enacted, codified, ratified. So therefore, they committed extrinsic fraud against you, denying you your due process rights. And you, nobody understands that. I'm trying to.
Well, I think everybody. I think everybody understands that. I think people who have been. Understand to a degree. Let's put it like that. There are a lot of people who, when they get to be the victims of being fired unjustly or being hassled by the police, or my favorite example, one of them, is that when a person gets carried away in handcuffs and they start talking back to the police saying, I know my rights, I pay your salary, and yet that person is hauled down to jail. So, yeah, we have the right to self-govern.
We're going to be distracted by people that, like you were saying earlier, and I think all of us have said, or at least a certain group number of us have said, each one of us think we're right in our own eyes. So our view, when we look at the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, we think we're right. But it doesn't matter what I think about whether I think I'm right or not, unless everybody else agrees that that's the way we're going to move forward. And when we want to continue to use the government to say everybody that is a United States citizen or a person in the United States is going to be forced to these particular rules, laws, processes, procedures, but you deny them their right to due process, you know, good faith bargaining, good faith negotiating, mutuality of agreement, freedom of contract, freedom of conscience, freedom of association, freedom of choice, blah, 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 then you're not treating them as an equal. You've already violated the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, so therefore,
we know
that's
true.
That we have to solve first. All these other things that we keep talking about are ancillary after the fact.
You know, another problem here is that in any period of history for a society, at those points in history, whether it's 1982, 2022, or 1706 or 1787, you have what's called societal norms. And those societal norms have to be recognized, because all the truths about for the people, by the people, if they are going to be tangible, if society is letting their daughters marry at 14, some at 12, that's what society looks at as being norm. Now, what's happening today with these transgenders and so on, so on, so on, they are coming along and trying to change society norms based on what they want to see. And this is where the problem is coming along.
Not by voluntarily.
Okay, we've only got about 27 minutes left,
yeah,
so I'm going to ask the question again. Okay. What are we going to do? Now, Piaggi's talking about societal norms. John Doe's talking about the Constitution. And both of them. And all of us are talking about how politicians are using either the Constitution or not using the Constitution against us to oppress us in one way or another to take away our rights. Again,
no,
my question is...
using the Constitution. They're violating
the Constitution
and using the
violating it.
Force.
Right. We'll pretend... Okay. So let's take a look at the vaccine. The truckers went over to Ottawa. They planned rallies in America. They got the teeth bashed. They got the children taken away. They got their accounts frozen, the bank accounts frozen. Again, my question is, what we know certain problems exist. What do you think we should do about it besides just knowing that the problem exists? How do we resolve the problem? There's a conflict. How do we resolve it?
Well, naturally, you have to collect as many material, direct facts and evidence as possible in order to start forming any kind of process in order to determine which is legit and which is not as far as the process you're going to go forward on trying that case. You know, your deposition, your interrogatories, discovery, all that goes into that. So, I mean, we learn ourselves. If we don't know, then we need to teach the other person if the other person is willing to learn. If they're not willing to learn, they're going to continue to just struggle in the dark thinking they see the light and they don't know which train coming at them.
That's a good point.
So are you talking about lawsuits? I'm going to interrupt everybody until the end of the show.
There are certain aspects of the actual processes that are used in the legal world that are legitimate, but there's a lot of them that are not either, and that's where the doggone lawyers are continuing to hang you on the hook so they can continue to make billions off the deal because they can string the case out for 2 or 3 years.
Okay, are you talking about lawsuits, my question?
It don't matter what it is, whether it's a lawsuit or not.
Okay.
Anytime there's a disagreement and you need conflict resolution, you still have to work from the truth to the basis of facts that are material and direct.
That's what I've been saying all night. Right.
Anytime you've been harmed, Joe, you should have lawsuits. Look at that guy that ran into the Christmas parade.
Okay.
He should have
Civil
lawsuits coming from every family that he injured.
I believe in lawsuits, okay? I happen to think that lawsuits are a way of us as the American people when we find that the representatives or the judges, the law enforcement, et cetera, the people that we've either elected or were appointed to protect us are not protecting us. Lawsuits so far have been fairly effective in making people know about what's going on in America. Because of the process.
Look at O.J. Simpson.
I don't know about that case, but I'm
talking
about
that's discovery. When he killed McCole, and the family is suing him civilly after he was successful of getting out of the criminal trial. Then they're suing him civilly because of the losses. So anytime he comes across some money other than pensions and so forth, they can go after it and ask the courts.
I think that was done some years ago. Yeah, I believe in the lawsuits. So, is that what we should do? Is that what everybody
You're absolutely right, Joe.
Okay.
Donnie, if somebody run into your Blazer or your SUV, they don't have no insurance, sue them civilly.
So,
hell, they might get reparations one day.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. And I'm going to, again, people, because the show is short, I want to go on a devil's advocate type of thing, go back and forth. So, yeah, I believe in the lawsuits. But do we trust the judges enough? I think the lawsuits so far, when they have the discovery and the FOIA documents in court to show, for example, how the vaccines are dangerous, we know about it, but nothing has been done. 2,000 Mules, excellent documentary. I think everybody's seen it. I don't think there's a probe into those allegations. So, again, lawsuits, I believe, are important. But do we have – here's my question. Do we have enough honest judges in order for these lawsuits to get the kind of results that we need?
If you don't have them, get rid of them. You got some in there that's not doing what they're supposed to. Get rid of them. That's what you have to do. And also, when you get rid of people, you make a note of their name, because I can guarantee you, at some point in the future, when they think everybody has forgotten, they're going to come back again.
Okay, I agree. Go ahead, John Doe.
Yeah, but here's what's blowing my mind. It don't matter whether it's a lawsuit or not. The principle that we need to figure out how to use conflict resolution works in your family. Just trying to make sure that your family is harmonious in its purpose to move together as a unit to help hold each other up and to nurture each other and care for each other and not run roughshod over each other doesn't demand a lawsuit every time. But the principles of that conflict resolution process, and I'm not Mr. Know-it-all, but they still work whether there's a lawsuit or not. But they also work in a lawsuit. That's why a lot of legal procedure is based on conflict resolution techniques and strategies.
Exactly. That's the point of the show. Okay? That's why Donnie was calling me the Lan Anders of conflict resolution, and my wifey over there was calling me Joanne because they thought it was about relationships. Yes, these conflict resolution techniques do and are necessary in relationships. But since you were bringing up, again, self-governance and lawsuits, I wanted to continue with that. So, but if we, and I, my question was, do we have honest, enough honest judges to get us the results we want? Bianchi answered, if we don't, we have to get rid of them.
Personally,
yeah.
I couldn't tell you, I don't know.
And I think, so and I think your answer was right. We have to get rid of them. But again, that also begs the question with regards to conflict resolution again. How do we get rid of
How many people, when they go vote for judges, they just go by the name. They don't do no research in these judges. I do. I look at whether they lean one way or the other myself. But a lot of people don't research judges.
I'll tell you. Go ahead, Cinnamon. Go ahead, Cinnamon.
Yeah, Cinnamon. Hold on. I was just saying Cinnamon really digs into their past. Then she tells me.
Did you know that Michael Moore years ago, he ran a fern against a political candidate, and I think the fern won, and he called the fern, and that fucking potted plant won, because people don't give a shit.
I didn't know that. I know he won an election. He was a youngest school board member. He was elected to the board of Davison School Board in Davison, Michigan.
No, was he? Yeah.
Yeah. Then he was working at WTAC, then WHNN. No, WCK. Excuse me. He did a Sunday nobody listened to show. He didn't play music. He had a commentary.
The thing I try to say is that conservatives need to get off their butts. If not, when they're buried in their grave, liberals is going to make their cemetery a pet park, and they're going to have liberal dogs pissing on you.
Yeah.
So that begs the question again. And if Cinnamon and Laurie want to chime in before the show ends, please do. Because then I want to question that particular principle. Go ahead, guys. Laurie and Cinnamon.
And you need to tell us about your show, Laurie. And Cinnamon, if you got a show.
Who first?
go ahead, Laurie. I haven't heard Cinnamon.
Okay. I guess I'll talk about my show. This Wednesday I'm going to be playing part two of The Viral Deception. It's about an hour, 6 minutes long. And then I'll be open for calls and conversations after that. So tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Laurie Ann show special on Wednesdays. But then my regular show is on Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Last show was fantastic. I had an awesome time. And this Sunday, I don't have any guests scheduled, and I'm without a co-host. So this Sunday is going to be a free-for-all. So definitely call in, and we'll talk and see what's going on for the whole week and what news we can cover then. And so just look for Lucid Libertarian with Laurie Ann here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for allowing me to do a plug here before our little live broadcast ends here.
By the way, Laurie Ann, have you heard from Jemima? Because she didn't have a show again on Friday.
I did text her, and she told me she would let me know if she was going to, but I didn't hear back from her, and she still didn't. So I'm going to have to try to bug her again and see what the latest and greatest with Jemima is. Or her show.
Yeah. I also recommend guys to go to Jemima's show. She's on Fridays 9 to 12 Eastern Standard Time. Good show. But this show needs to be continued because we all talked about what the problems are, did not talk about conflict resolution. We have not found any way to be discerning about truth, fact, fiction, and selecting judges, law enforcement, political officials, okay, or resolving conflict in families, or talking to people and just finding out about what it is that we have on common ground. So as far as I'm concerned, this show didn't do shit. So the show needs to be continued at some other date in the future. Okay? So those who want to stick around until 11, please do. Donnie, if you want to go beyond 11, I'm going to go there with you until people get tired and get the, you know, and want to go to bed or want to do whatever they want to do. But this conflict resolution theme of mine. Sorry?
I thought you said for me to jump in. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
We got some people in the switchboard about 10, 11. Thank you. Push one on the keypad. We'll get you right on. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, the discussion did deliver some solutions. You know, one, we talked about education, meaning that parents that don't like to see what's going on, and even those who aren't parents, they need to go to these school board meetings and make their expressions be heard.
That's right. Also,
if you don't get any positive and responsive move out of these members, then get rid of them. The ultimate thing in any case, at any level, is to get rid of them. Don't argue. Don't try to convince. Don't try to give a science lesson. Just get rid of them. Because I'm telling you, I've been watching this for too damn long. You ain't going to win like that. These people are hard-headed. They come up with some of the twisted logic that one could ever imagine. Just get rid of them.
Yeah, but Bianchi, that's what the left is saying, too. Just get rid of those doggone stupid nutbag conservatives. Don't even try to talk with them or reason with them or educate them. Just get rid of them. And therefore, we're back to the same thing where we're using force against each other and we're just going to kill each other because when they're force against force, you know, killing begets, you know the story. It ain't nothing new. But if we aren't sympathetic to the details, then we're just committing the same crime just from a different perspective.
Well, listen to what you just said. You're saying you're using force. All right, so you're going to compromise. You're going to give up on something that you don't want to give up on. I don't blame them. I wouldn't compromise. These are, in this case, kids. They're your kids.
That's not true. Your
children. Well, whose children are they?
No, yeah, but you're changing the subject. They're little rabbit trails.
No, I'm not changing the subject. What I'm saying is on the issue of school. On the issue of school. We were talking about getting rid of school board members. Well, what these people want to do is to have you relinquish your children for some damn experiment, no matter what type of title you want to add to it, call it social experiment or whatever. But you should not relinquish the control of your children to somebody with some twisted ideological thinking. Just tell them no.
John, go ahead.
If you're wanting to just tell them no, but you're not willing to take the opportunity to determine all of the facts and evidence, whether they're material or whatnot, or what the deals, you know, the issues are, and you're not willing to educate those people, and then you're doing no different than them. You're just got a superficial surface level attention span or patience level for nonsense, and then you kill them. Because you can't deal
with
them.
If a guy wanted to go to bed with a woman, the woman said no, and the guy said, well, I just want to put a litter in.
That's not an example.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
it's a good example.
Hold on, guys. John,
if I tell somebody, that you ain't going to have that with my children.
Before the end of the show, both of you guys. I have good point, but I don't want you guys jumping over each other.
Joe, do you have any kids?
Okay. So when one guy finishes,
I have kids. So let me talk about what I do with my kids.
All right, we're gonna hold on, guys. I will in a second, Bianchi. I just want to make sure that everybody here knows that, you know, please be brief. Let the other guy.
Yeah, we're gonna be brief.
Finishes, then jump in. Okay. So go ahead, finish up, Bianchi, and then
with my children, I said no, and that was it.
Okay, John Doe. Then I'm going to jump in after you're finished.
Yeah, and see, I respect that right for you to make that choice. But then again, I'm saying that if we continue to not be concerned about taking it to another level of determining the direct evidence and material facts that actually define what the real problem is, and then try to educate people to bring them up to a different level of understanding, then we're just going to continue to fight each other because we're just working off of a superficial surface level nonsense level of intelligence. That's not well-informed, that's not reasoning, that's not logic, nor is it critical thinking. It's just people wanting to look like they know everything or they know a lot, and they're wanting to get people, you know, praising them or whatnot, and they don't really care about solving the problem. But if we go to the extremes of making sure that we've looked at all those detailed facts and direct evidence and whatnot, and those people still want to be continuously nutbag crazy, then you validated the fact that they're Heil Hitler and that they got to go. And that's why
whenever
slow your roll. Come on. Yonke, you don't like people talking over you. Please, let me finish.
Well, I was trying to. Go ahead.
But thank you. I appreciate you. I'll tell you, I yield the floor when I'm done, so you'll know. Then you can jump in. But anyway, this is like you disturbed my groove now. But anyway, you got Hitler or whatnot wanting to do all his thing. He thinks he knows it all, too. But then whenever you get to our Congress, you have all these people that, because of the way we have these conversations, they feel they have to make a decision because it don't matter who gets into office. They get that superficial, surface-level information and knowledge from us, and then they think, well, all them people are just idiots. I can't go with anything they say. So then they just default to doing what the heck they want
to do. Okay,
that's
it. Thank you, John.
You and I argue over super-level, superficial, stupid stuff.
We got you. We got you. We only have 9 minutes left. But the point I am in a Pianchi in a second. I just want to sum up to see to make sure that I got what he has, what he said, so that everybody understands, at least to our ability. Okay? What John
Doe
was saying is,
if you hear the bomb, that's the end of it. Go ahead.
All right. Here's the thing. John Doe was saying if we don't take a look at everybody's point of view, and if we start using force just because we disagree, then nobody's better than anybody else. And we have to actually use but it didn't say the same term, but basically what I'm saying is use discernment, take a look at the details, and and go from there without force if necessary. Do I have you correctly, John Doe, before Bianchi jumps in? Briefly.
General sense, yes.
Okay, go ahead, Bianchi.
Well, I'm going to say this. I remember a time in urban schools, black parents didn't want their kids reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Black parents did not want their kids to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. So rather than argue about it, they took their kid out of the classroom and instructed them when that pledge is said, you step out in the hallway. They didn't negotiate. They didn't compromise. They said, my child is not going to pledge allegiance to this flag because of historical content that people that look like me experience. So they did it. They took the kids out of the classroom. And I think that method, although it was a different reason, should be utilized. You don't have to negotiate on some things, and this is not. That's your child. Nobody knows and has a responsibility for the innocence of that child but you. And if I say I want my black child to be studying critical race theory, he's not going to sit in the classroom when that is going on. Period. Now, those that want to discuss and want to compromise, then they should be allowed to put their child in the results of their compromise, but those who don't should be allowed to put their children in the results of them not compromising. I mean, it's simple as that. Tit for tat.
Okay, so what do you do, or what do the parents do when the people that they've elected or other people have either elected or appointed say, well, we don't care what you want. they're going to do, you're in our school, you're going to do what the rules say.
You want me to tell you what you do? You do what they did in Missouri. When they had the legislature to pass a law that gives that ultimate authority to the parents. The curriculum, textbooks, instruction material is up to the district, i.e. the parents and the State Board of Education. And DESE, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, cannot mandate. That's simple. They went that route.
Was that done?
Why?
Okay.
That's a state statute. That is a state statute, Joe.
All right.
And the reason they done that, the state gave in to it, because parents were doing the alternative. They were saying, no, not with my child.
So that was my question. That would have been my question. So the parents said, well, okay, you can tell us what to do, but still my responsibility for my child, and I don't want the child in school. So then they lobbied the state legislatures. Am I getting that right?
The state legislature was voted by the people to go and carry out the will of the people. And
so were they lobbied by the parents? Or did
they
state legislature
take busloads? It was lobbied by busloads of parents, some that I participated in personally. Oh, not only that issue, but other issues too. Like cameras for police officers. Like school choice.
So in other words, if parents get together or people do get together, the conflict that they face can be resolved, even though painfully or perhaps through a long period of time, by people getting together. Correct?
That's right. That's what they're supposed to do.
Not
and they did it.
The government.
I didn't hear you, John Doe.
I said not everything has to go through the government. Government has extended its arm into so many different things. There's a lot of things that are supposed to be left up to we, the people, to decide between ourselves by making groups to facilitate whatever we want done. The government is not supposed to get in there except for to make sure that people are not harming or encroaching, intruding, limiting your right of pursuit of happiness as long as you're doing no harm or, you know, encroachment or invasion.
But who decides that? Who decides that?
Well, the federal government don't have no control over your school district. That's state and local.
No.
I know.
See, that's the perversion of the understanding of the spirit, hope, and promise of the Declaration of Independence with freedom and liberty for all. So
the Declaration of Independence was a message to King George. It wasn't part of the Constitution, John Doe.
Hey, but the Constitution stands on the foundation of the Declaration of Independence. Therefore, if one person decides that, you know, they don't want X or whatnot in the government, it should not be a part of the government, because the government is only to harmonize all of our benefits and make sure no one does our harm.
When I read the Constitution, when I have children to read their copy, they see nothing about a Declaration of Independence. And especially with the kids I work, it would not have been for them anyway, because they were not subjects of a king.
Okay, so no title of nobility.
They were no subject of no title of nobility either.
Do what?
No. They weren't a title. They were not subject to a title of nobility either. But
no,
mom and daddy.
The Constitution, Article 1, Sections 9 and 10, the Constitution upholds the spirit, hope, and promise of the Declaration of Independence with a clause of no title of nobility granted at the federal level and the state level. That means we're all the same. There's no chain of command. There's no rank and file. We all get to decide our own burdens and encumbrances and obligations. And that's uphill.
So let me get this straight. You're saying that if the legislature passes a law and a person doesn't agree with the law, for example, making themselves a sovereign citizen, they don't want to obey traffic lights, they can do that, and the government, they may have the power, they may have the guns, but they don't have the legal authority to stop somebody from going through stoplights.
Wait, you're automatically assuming that everybody was consulted on the stoplight to determine that there was mutual assent to justify that the stoplight law is an actual law. That's not the law. That's the rule of man deceitfully masquerading under the color of law. It's fake law.
Well, you know, people that want to drive.
I want to ask the question and I want the answer again. So if I go through the stoplight, all right, regardless of how that law came about, therefore, the local authorities, they don't have the right to stop me and say, you know what, you went through a stop sign. And I can say, well, I'm a sovereign citizen. I don't have to obey you.
My bad, you paused like you were waiting for me to...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
See, the whole deal is, do we understand the true rule of law or not? And under that circumstance, you're asking a false equivalence. Because you can't assume that there's authority in what you call a law if you did not respond.
I'm not asking you about the concept behind it. I'm asking you about a specific situation. If I go past that stoplight, and if the authority, the cops pull me over, do I say to them and can I get off by saying, you know what, I'm a sovereign citizen. I do not want to obey this stop sign, this stoplight.
See, that's what I'm saying. You don't understand the false equivalency of what you're asking that question. Number one, the authority is only derived by we the people. Is it all of we the people or only a certain percentage of we the people? And then,
well, wait a minute.
Hold on. I want to get the answer to this question.
Ask me that same question.
I will later, but I want to get it from him. He's the one that's proposing it.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe I don't understand the moral equivalent, but if I'm saying to the cop, you don't have the right to arrest me, that's fine. But if he puts me in handcuffs, then what? John Doe?
Look, we can work with the jury. Or we can work with de facto. You have to face the reality of the situation you're in at this present time. But that doesn't make it right just because they have a gun held to your hand, to your head, forcing you.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
But you still don't understand how the question you ask is a false equivalency.
No, I sure don't. Not the way that you're phrasing it, because the law, you're saying, you're making the assumption that the law was made not because of the general consensus of people who have the right to make that law, but because of people that we put in there, and maybe they made a law that we don't agree with, therefore we can disobey that law. That's not the way a republic works.
But are you basing that on our Constitution and Declaration of Independence, or are we just neglecting that altogether? See, that's what I'm saying. You have to understand the fact that the rule of law is predicated on the rights of each individual person to have authority. Otherwise, that authority cannot be passed to the city or the state.
Hold on.
Ask me that question.
Okay, wait a minute. All right. Bianchi, please make the answer short. Then I want to go back to John Doe and get a more definitive answer. Go ahead, Bianchi.
Well, ask the question. Yes, the police have a right to cite the guy because he's violating the ordinance of that municipality. And before that ordinance became law, it went to the city council, and it was read three times before the public. And any one of those times, the public could have came out against it, but they did not. First time, it was word per verbatim. The second and third time, it was read by title only. Most of the cases at a time. And the people did not disagree with it. The people said, this is what we want. So when you run that stop sign, you are committing a crime against the entire people of that municipality because they approve of the ordinance.
Well, all right, let me go back and forth to both of you guys playing devil's advocate. Not everybody approved of that law. And I personally don't believe, and I said about an hour and a half ago, and not all laws of the Constitution, just because it's a law or the Constitution makes it moral. Okay? Simply because a law was passed doesn't mean that, you know, you should obey it. But what I'm trying to get from John Doe, and instead of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence concept and philosophy, is if I go past that particular stop sign, they arrest me, what do I have as a basis to say that they are either right or wrong? Gondo?
You have an affirmative defense of contributory negligence.
Which means what?
Understanding the true de jure rule of law. Because they did not recognize your individual authority, then that means that no authority exists, so therefore the law that is what you're calling a law is fake law, pretended law, so therefore it's nullified.
Ask me that question.
See, Bianchi is right in his the way he's saying it, but just like you said, Joe, not everybody agreed with that law. So therefore, they actually committed fraud against the people that did not agree with it and said, we're going to play favoritism, even though the Constitution says there's no favoritism, no title of nobility, and the citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in the several states. And the 13th Amendment, you shall not be involuntary servitude. They just made you a legislative slave. Like I said before, representing you like a pimp representing a prostitute. But see, Bianchi talks about it from a whole different standpoint, adding that, oh, they all agreed to it, but you know they didn't all agree to it.
No, I didn't say they all agreed to it, because I have written ordinances for municipalities. I know very well how it works.
Yeah,
see, the citizens of their community, see, here's the thing. The law is posted in conspicuous places, including the newspapers, where the citizens of the community have an opportunity to know what it's all about. Then at board meetings, three consecutive board meetings, they have an opportunity to come to the board meeting and express their disapproval. Then at the end of the third reading, the duly elected council members vote yea or nay. That's how it's passed or it is declined. And those who don't like it, well, I don't know what to tell you. You just didn't get enough people to come over to your side.
We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional
republic. Well, as far as the vote is concerned, it is a democracy.
Well, that's the fraud that they're committing against their own fellow man.
Then what they should do, then they also... They also have an opportunity. If they don't like it, then they can get a lawyer and sue the city council and let it go to court.
But you know, Bianchi, in a lot of these cases, you're saying that all of this stuff from the city was posted and these, you know, citizens, nobody, you know, complained about it. That's nonsense. It's just like the guy that stood up before the school board and he ended up in jail because he didn't like the fact that his daughter got raped by a transgender dude that was, you know, saying he
That's
was a
right.
girl. And so
yeah, but see,
of
the key thing
that goes on like that, and then we talk in these circles as if these situations.
Well, this is not a circle.
No, wait, quit interrupting me. Let me finish. And then we get in these situations, you call your own congressman and senator and you want to say stuff about it and they ignore you, but then the bill already passes and then they got people just like what you said standing up saying, oh, but it was posted for the public for 3 weeks and nobody claimed any problem with it. That's because when you called your congressman for a redress of grievance, they ignored you.
Well, that's see, John Doe, this is a municipality. Congress has nothing to do with this. This is a municipality.
Well,
and the ordinances of the municipality require that the things that I laid out and we did be done. And it gives people who have a disagreement with what's going to be a rule over them as they maneuver the streets and roads in that municipality, they had opportunity to express their disapproval. And then once it's passed, if they don't like it, there's another outlet for them to say that what's going on is just not constitutional. They got all sorts of due process.
So the homeless person has that same due process.
We ain't talking
right?
about homeless person. We talking about people that's driving.
You're talking about every legitimate American in the country. They
no, I'm not. I told you the community that I represented.
You can't play favorites. You're discriminating.
I can. I'm always going to, just like Robert E. Lee was favored to Virginia, I'm favored to the community that wanted me to represent them in writing ordinances.
But that's a con. That's why the doggone big pharmaceuticals and big tech got you in a bind now.
That's not a concern of the pharmaceutical. We're talking about a stop sign that was duly put in place by an ordinance that was written by a municipality that was read and went through the procedure as spelled out by the ordinance in the municipality code.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it was done.
And you don't think the big businesses in that municipality and that district don't want the sign situation a certain way so that way they can get theirs more prominent and you can't compete? Because
they have an opportunity. They have an opportunity to express their grievances too.
Right, but that's why I'm saying. If you don't respect the authority of the individual, then nobody has authority to give it to the state or any other group. Whatever.
Well, this was not for the state. It was for that municipality. You keep trying
it's
to take it beyond that.
It's still about the individuals in that municipality. Governing is governing. No matter
and then people in that municipality overall approved of it.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
They did. It's the law. Go through there and run a stop signs and see what happens.
Yeah. Horse Creek.
Yeah, right. That's a pretended law. That's not a law under the jure sense of the law. It's a de facto law that's conned you into thinking it's a law. It's the rule of man deceitfully masquerading under the color of law, because when the people who call in to their ward representative or their mayor, whoever that depends on whether you're in Louisiana and you've got parishes and all this different stuff, you know, the East Municipality has their own charter by laws and organizational structure how it works. So most of them are, you know, like a city council with a councilman on it and then a mayor. Well, if you call your councilman and your mayor and you tell them you're this, you know, you want a redress of grievance for this particular rule and they ignore you and go ahead and do it, that doesn't mean the whole people in the municipality accepted that law. It just means
the people,
let me jump in for a minute, Bianchi. City of Swartz Creek put up something that goes across the, you know, if you're a walker, you can put the O sign out there and stop cars. They voted on it. Now, if there was any opposition, you could show up too and have your say-so, just like people do in every city council, I would assume, has the choice to make to go and stand up for your rights as a citizen of that community. And that's what people did and was outvoted. And that's what we've got in Swartz Creek. It is a law. You know, if I run that and somebody's waiting to walk across that, I'm going to get a nice ticket. Did that make sense?
That's generally the way it works.
That's de facto law, yes. It's not
the true
rule of law. That's fake law.
It's de facto because the people voted for their representatives, and their representatives, when they in that position, get to do jury and make the law.
We're not.
They
a
have
democracy.
To follow the procedure, in which they do.
Yeah. And they post.
You don't get three wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner.
They posted in flyers and the newspaper.
In the newspaper, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely
yes,
right.
They do.
And
they get
in prominent newspapers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the Flint Journal, they run it for I don't know how many days now. They used to run it for a week to make sure everybody has a chance to see it. And you go to any pharmacy, it's tacked up on the wall. But
yeah, it's tacked up on the telephone poles in the neighborhood.
If you run that, that's not fake money I'm putting out there, John Doe. That's real hard cash.
Well, fiat.
Well, next time I go in there to pay it, I'll say this law ain't right, and argue with them for about an hour, and I'll guarantee I'll end up in Flint, downtown Flint, county jail.
That's why they keep getting away with it, is because nobody actually ever challenged the true, the jury rule of law. So we have this pretended fake law that continues to keep us in Stockholm syndrome.
We have districts in our little city, and it's a little city. We had districts, and every district voted for who they wanted to represent them. Yes, that's a law, and it might be a de facto fiat, whatever you want to call it, but it's a law in Swartz Creek. You run a stop sign that they put out there, and they put out two. This stop sign, you're going to get a ticket, and period.
And you know, funny, and another thing, too, about this, when we put up a stop sign, we also put a description of the location of the stop sign in feet and inches from a set place, whether it's from the center line of the street, so many feet in, and from the center line of the other street, so many feet in, to locate that sign to make sure nobody moves it and gets things all messed up. It's just that good.
So the status quo is working for you guys, I guess, is what you're saying?
That's what the status quo is, what the people want.
No, it ain't. That's status quo.
That's why they hired me. That's why they hired me.
The establishment really loved that because it keeps us dividing and them to conquer.
Well, that's why they hired me. And I've done the job that I was hired to do.
Divide and conquer?
What do you mean divide and conquer? You can have people on either side of anything. It just ain't enough of them.
Yeah, but you're saying that we should be creating division to conquer, and that, to me, it's like then you're automatically violating the Constitution, whether you respect the Constitution standing on the foundation of the Declaration of Independence or not. You're actually inciting anarchy and more violence because the people who are being disenfranchised and hated on by the system, they're the ones that's acting a fool out there, stealing out their back. And whatnot, because they feel the system's never given them equitable.
The Constitution.
Take that with a grain of salt, because there are some nutbags that no matter
the
what
Constitution,
you say, they're going to do criminality anyway.
The Constitution allowed them states to enact a constitution called a state constitution, and within the state constitution, it gives the right for villages, towns, and cities, municipalities and cities to exist. And they have a right to do certain things like pass bonds,
their own
hire their own police department. It's all written in the Constitution what they're allowed to do, the state Constitution.
Right. But you're not respecting the fact that all of the people that gave authority to that Constitution are supposed to be 100% represented. If they're
they are, if you go out and vote, if you run and vote for the people that you want.
Yes.
No, because you're giving over your right to discern your own freedom, pursuit of happiness.
Well, then what you should do is run for the office yourself.
Well, if I really knew that I could respect the system to operate properly, I would. But under the circumstance of the situation, you got to be crooks in order to really participate in it.
Well, that's not true. That's your
good. So I'm going to do it in my
not,
way, the best way
that's
I know
not
how,
true, John.
Which I do have.
That's not true, Mr. Doe. You got a right to. If you don't choose not to, then you choose not to. People don't have to be subjected to
the system.
They do so because they are.
And by the way, Joe's not here. Joe dropped off.
Hey, he usually run out. Is Laurie gone, too? Them two don't snuck off.
She's here. Lori's there.
Yep, I'm still here.
I figured you and Joe snuck off.
Yeah, I was wondering why Joe was so quiet. I figured he must have dropped.
He starts things and leaves and runs.
I do want to say thank you, Bianchi, though, because I appreciate you creating the challenge. But it, the details do matter. And if we don't respect those details, then the fringe elements or the people that are being disenfranchised will become the new problems. They're not.
Well, I appreciate you recognize it as being a friendly discussion and a meeting of the heads. So that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
That means we're going to keep getting more violence because the people that are disenfranchised by the system, whether you want to call them Trump supporters or whatever, and I couldn't stand Trump, but when you're left with the, you know, scraping the barrel with the scum of America in order to choose which scum's going to represent you, you have to, you know, vote against the other people and give your vote to the one that you think will become closer to serving the true constitution, the jure. But I do appreciate your feedback and your input. It makes me think and challenges me to get better at explaining myself.
Yeah. Well, I hate to see that. I'm going to have to get on Joe for starting things and running off like that.
It makes
me and Donnie look bad.
Yeah. And Lorianne.
Yeah, Laurie and
John
Doe. I don't think it was intentional, but he probably didn't remember to call in with a backup phone or something to make sure if he had any problems.
Are you running an excuse for him?
One of his six.
Yeah, you're running
one
an excuse
of his
six
backup phones.
The phone was in his back pocket, Laurie. All he had to do was feel back there.
Maybe something was getting in his way. I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't like debate. I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
I think he just dropped. I don't think he would have just left without, you know, any word or whatever.
Maybe he got kicked off by accident. You know, the system screwed him over.
And that could have been.
Well, it's stuff like that that goes on.
For that.
Look what Walmart is doing to Mr. Pillow, not carrying his products in his store.
That's something.
So now I got a debate. Do I continue to patronize Walmart? Because when Executive Enterprise done that with their automobile leasing and rental, I told them, I'm sorry, I'm not doing business with you no more because you dishonor my NRA lifetime membership card for discounts. So sometimes people got to put their foot down and mean it.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
I agree.
I don't
boycott Walmart because I never shopped there anyway. I boycotted them a long time ago for all kinds of reasons.
We don't either.
Add this to another one.
We don't either. But it's a lot. There's millions that do, which is fine.
And for the best of me, I really don't understand why would they even get involved with something like that.
I don't know.
They come in there shopping, and some of them you can't tell if you're looking at the front or the back of them. They don't know jack about no Mr. Pillow.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And, I heard that the other day, and I said, Jesus. Another one. Don't these people learn? You know, you're pissing off half the country. Good Lord.
But hey, the status quo's working, if I understood, you know, what you guys were defending a little bit ago.
Yeah, well, I was defending my little city, or Duran, or Gaines Township. We're in the township, so we vote in the township.
The Walmarts live in, Columbia.
Columbia,
Missouri. Yeah, that's where they originally from.
I know they're from Arkansas.
Bentonville, Arkansas.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think some of them live in Columbia, but you probably.
Oh,
right.
You might be right there, but the old man had a little store and it had American flags, and a man said American products sold here, everything, in that window. You go look at it, and they interviewed the old man later on in life, and he said, well, my son and daughter's done, sons and daughters done a fine job. Fine job. Well, yeah, you did. You did. That's the name of the game. Make money. And they do. They're not in
McDonnell. McDonnell of McDonnell Douglas Aircraft, which is now Boeing, he lived in Richmond Heights, Missouri, about two blocks over from a friend of mine. I think he stayed on Burdell in a two-bedroom house.
That's something. Not
hey,
mega mansion.
Yes, sir.
And talking about Walmart, I think it's easier to say, where are they not? They're in so many places, it's easier to say where they're not than it is to say where they are.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But they shouldn't be singling this guy out because of his personal ideology, his personal desire to support the same thing they what they were trying to do to Elon Musk. Look at this. Now they're jumping on him because his conservative leanings.
Because he voted for a conservative for the first time, or a Republican for the first time.
So the people that's coming out against him, therefore lie the demons. Those are the demons. How dare you? Steve Harvey meets with Donald Trump. Steve Harvey, a black man. How dare you?
Oh, wow. God, I remember that. Jeez. Yeah. This for me, he said, yeah, he said later on, I just met the guy. I was in a meeting about, it was about what was it? Some black opportunities, and I can't remember what the hell it was.
Yeah, empowerment zones.
Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He had some students. College students met there at the White House. A lot of them.
Oh,
then
here
come Al Sharpton and them criticizing and chastising them. How dare you? Roland Martin attended a meeting. He sat in the back with hunched down in his chair with his collar up over his ears so he couldn't be recognized. But, hell, who would not recognize that head he got on him?
Yeah.
He's back there spying.
Yeah, he was back there because his show was on. Internet. Now,
how
why
dare you?
I don't get it anymore. Yeah, he was upset. He was upset. And all the Steve Hardy was doing was trying to help his...
But see, like John Doe was talking about, them people ain't going to compromise. I've been watching them for too long. They not going to compromise. You black, you supposed to vote Democrat. You ain't supposed to be voting for no Donald Trump.
Yeah. And
if
now,
you black and you voting for Donald Trump, you a coon, a Sambo, a Uncle Tom, a misfit.
Yeah.
Now,
oh,
is
yeah.
that not racist to call him that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If it was Donnie and Donnie done that to him, oh, Donnie is a racist.
Oh, I'd be run out of town. I'd be run out of town.
We got to start calling this what it is as you see it. If not, you're going to damn right. You're going to see the division. I know what John Doe's saying. I'm sorry, man. You passed that point. You long since passed that point.
We got to regain
the division is there, man. This ain't the great society of the Franklin D. Roosevelt in that time period. You're in a whole different time period now. These ain't the people that storm Omaha Beach.
But we have the potential to be better than we've ever been before. And we're for some reason. I don't understand why people can't get it. I'm doing my best to try to, you know, make them think and communicate it. But they still would prefer to run roughshod over their fellow man and say, well, the majority of us like it this way, so tough. You get screwed.
Yeah, well, like I said before, I was very selective who I let my kids play with. My kids didn't play with just any black kids. Nope. Nobody.
No.
You crazy? Like, hell no.
Certain white kids, she said, no way. They come over to the house. I might get to play with them one time. But my mom put an end to that. Because she was, I think, the nosiest person I've ever seen. She found out about every kid.
Absolutely. That's where people go wrong, trying to be friendly, trying to be all-encompassing, trying to be tolerable. How much you going to be tolerable when your children come in and curse you out? You're not.
Yeah. Not supposed to be.
Yeah, if there's a way when children were creating, you know, they can reverence you from a standpoint of the way you control yourself to speak with them with dignity and respect and due consideration, that they'll grow up with that too. Otherwise, they're just going to be bullies just like their dad was a bully.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to beat them till they're bullies. I've seen that happen. But you got to sitting in that thinking chair for 15 minutes or a half hour doesn't do anything. I talked to my kids, and when they got older, their mom, that was her way of punishment. And I said, damn, which one would you rather have, a spanking or sit in that chair? Of course they wanted to sit in their chair for 15 minutes. My oldest son said, do you think we're dummies? I said, no. No. Yeah, we'll sit in a chair. Well, they knew what they'd get from me if they acted up.
They were smart enough to weigh their options, right?
Or do it without me catching them. You know, knowing that for certain I wouldn't catch them.
Yeah.
Yeah, better to piss mom off than piss off dad.
Yes. That's right.
What was
right.
That, Lori Ann?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. I am and still here.
Well,
I didn't get what you said. That's why I was like, what was that?
Yeah. Been quiet for a while.
Oh, I'm actually the one that's eating for a change.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to get off here at 12 o'clock. I don't even know what time it is.
It's 10:32, so you got 28
minutes.
8 minutes. I can live with that.
Yeah.
I'm
tired. Man, I'm tired.
Not with some of the marathons that Lori have going on. Ooh, buddy.
No. You stayed with us.
Saturday night, last night. All of it.
What time did you guys get off last night?
I left.
Yeah, I think I wrapped it up just toward the end of the bonus hour, I think. Yeah, I wrapped things up a little bit after you hung up, and that was shortly before 10 o'clock, I think, my time.
Yeah, Johnny, when I left when they turned it back and wasn't looking, I got out of there.
You're like Joe. You take off, nobody knows. But you were with us Saturday night longer than you normally are.
Yeah. I didn't feel no wear and tear.
What was it, like 6 hours?
Yep.
We were all longer than usual.
Oh, man. I looked at the clock and I said, I don't believe this. This can't be happening. Yeah, well, it was happening.
Hey, I still appreciate Joe trying to help heal the divide by figuring, you know, trying to jar our memory or jar our understanding about conflict resolution, because it is very important in order to help solidify this nation with a solid foundation that will help our posterity continue. Otherwise, they're going to end up in some form of slavery or whatever, involuntary servitude.
Well, you got a point, but I think that well, I don't think entirely, because when I see parents and see people running for school boards and they're expressing their displeasure based on some of the conversation that we're having, it gives you some kind of hope. But it just all ain't there. Just like this thing here in Washington, D.C., for this Juneteenth festival, and these people gather without a permit. Then you have people get injured through shooting, stampedes. Now, here's the point with that. This is D.C. with the Mayor Bowser. And when Trump wanted to provide security so that that would not happen on January the 6th, she refused.
Yes, she did. Right along with Schumer and Pelosi.
What was
so
her
here you go.
Option if she didn't like that one?
Well, I don't know what I think she said thoughts. I know what her thoughts was. She was anti-Trump and she's a Democrat. That's what
it
was.
But
like
the majority of the disruption we have is just because people have a different way of thinking about these issues than we do. And if we use the government to bully them, then we need to figure out to at least, you know, say, well, hey, what's your options and how can we work out an option that works for all of us instead of just the majority of us? And the minority, it finally gets so hacked off because 50 years they've been run roughshod over, they finally say the whole system's screwed. None of the systems, institutions or bureaucracies work for us at all. So the heck with all of it. We're just going to do what we want to do, whether you like it or not. And if you confront me, we'll blow you away. And that's where we're going.
Well, the thing is with this particular case, if she going to apply certain stipulation and rules on one, well, why don't it apply to you, Bowser? Because what
unique.
Has happened.
You're unique. You get to self-determine your own pursuit of happiness.
Well, not to the point where you end up killing people getting killed. I mean, if you got to have a permit for any other thing, you got to have a permit to put a Johnny on the spot on the street. So you mean to tell me you're going to let these people, this is a black event, black group, unpermitted black event. Now you got a kid that's killed. I think he's 15 years old. And several of them wounded include a police officer. Where's the police chief? If you got police officers out there on the scene, well, would they not know that the damn event did not have a permit to even operate?
Or they
what
knew.
Is the responsibility?
They knew, but they weren't going to do anything about it. That's what happened.
The nutbags that believe that if it exists, they have right to it, have need educated. Because there's plenty of people that feel, hey, man, the system don't work for me, so therefore if you got it and I want it, it can be mine, because everything's, you know, everybody's. We all own it together.
Isn't that right?
You know,
breaking
stuff is a bunch of bullcrap.
Yeah, breaking into these stores and taking shit off the shelves, that's good. That's fine.
No.
That's right.
That's not good at all. I'm saying we have to figure out a way to make sure that there's an educational process that helps these people realize the life that they want to live is worth living in order for them to stop doing that stuff. Because in my humble opinion, the only reason they've gone to that extreme is because, like I was just saying, this every system, no matter what institution or bureaucracy agency, has failed them so much that they just figured the heck with it all. If we want it, we'll just take it. Because the whole system keeps neglecting us, disenfranchising us, and urinating and defecating on us, saying we don't count. Yeah. So they don't count. Nothing else counts. We're going to do what we want to do.
I got an education. Bianchi got an education. His grandson's getting an education. I assume you got an education. Oh, why didn't we get kicked on and defecated on and all that, John Doe. Because we took the advantage that we were given, and there's many of those people doing the same thing that quit high school, that had a chance, and that they don't want it. That takes work. I can't hang out with my buds, my bros. That's more important.
Hey, the one side did not create these double standards. It's the other side that created these double standards.
No, it's
go back to the mayor. Go back to Mayor Barry, the black mayor in D.C. I don't know if he was the first black mayor or not, but the one that was a crack addict.
Marion Barry.
He said, he labeled Mideasterners and said that they have nasty shops. Verbatim, damn near. He's got with their little nasty shops because they was having stores in the black community. It was opening up the type of stores of convenience.
Yeah.
And, of course, people was getting pissed at that. Why are you getting pissed at them? And why would you describe them as having little nasty shops? That's racist.
Or envy or greed.
Donald Trump has said that years, decade later. Look what we call that. When he made mention of African countries, calling them shithole countries, he wasn't talking about the people. He was talking about the condition, which in essence, when you have opportunity to go in those cities that's got open sewage, they are, because everything be floating down.
Yeah. You
those
told me
troughs.
Yeah. Trump did say that. He did say
that. But it's sad they take it all out of context and then twist it to serve their own individual purposes.
Because
the left don't say nothing.
Well, they call Trump a liar every chance they get. They still do. Still to this day, Trump is just like he's there in the White House, just like he was.
His claims of a stolen election is nothing but a joke. But heck, all of a sudden here lately, and we talked about one tonight there in Georgia, which was a primary for the Democrats. Well, that sounds like stolen to me.
Yeah. Michigan Secretary of State was arrested for ballot fraud in Michigan. No surprise.
But the left don't say nothing. They don't say nothing. Not a mumbling word.
And
well,
look at
none of the left say anything, but the left that do say anything are so small, and, you know, such a small percentage, and the media does not give them any airtime to, you know any different. So it looks like all of the left. And partly the reason why I'm saying this is because even though I'm registered Republican, I'm really more libertarian than I am Republican, but I had to evaluate what queue I was going to get into because he shot this. You know, multi-party system is nothing but a shopping center queue, like I was mentioning earlier, and I'm just using the one that I think will get me to the outdoor and enjoying the life I want to live. But the point I'm getting to is I have multiple people. There's, you know, many of us, for example, my grandmother was Republican, and my grandfather were Democrat. I took after my grandma. A lot of the part of my other family took after my grandpa, but they're more Blue Dog Democrats. They voted for Trump. They didn't vote, you know, for the regular leftist nonsense. So I kind of have to juggle this stuff. And I got independents, you know, other people in my family extended that are libertarian. So I get to talk with a number of people. I mean, I got lawyers. I got business. Most of my family's entrepreneurs and farmers. I mean, I know from a lot of different, as a matter of fact, I got multi-generations of people in law enforcement. So I get to hear it from all kinds of different perspectives, but still take it with a grain of salt. I still have myopic view and being able to totally comprehend and see all things.
Yeah, but it's nice to get different perspectives from different people. I would like that. That's why I do this show most of the time. it was to get people from, like, the plant to call in because they thought different than I did. Anyway, that's why we started a UAW show at first. Now it's workers' rights in the UAW. Well, are we going to snowball it to 12 o'clock my time, Eastern Standard Time, or are we pooped out?
Oh, I think you're just about there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Pretty close to it.
15 minutes.
Live and let live as long as you're doing no harm to your fellow man.
Well, you damn near have to because you got young people, teenagers doing something like here in Baton Rouge, the guy from teenagers stole a car, overturned it, and this, that, and the other.
That happened in Detroit, too.
You just got to... What are you going to do? These people ain't going to listen to you.
No.
You white, John Doe, Donnie, you ain't going to go up to no black family and say, look, maybe I can help. They ain't going to want to hear that.
No.
Not all. Now, some will. Now, I'm not going to say that they're not all. Some will. They'll welcome you in, sit you down for dinner.
Yeah.
But generally the ones that's kids that's getting into these problems is coming from dysfunctional home. And dysfunctional home, they're going to have you coming in telling them nothing because they have been sensitized by all this rhetoric.
And I told you about Miss Ozell down in Alabama. She'll do anything for you. It didn't matter what color you were. Did not matter.
Oh, I'm sorry, Don.
Go ahead. You're fine.
I just wanted to ask Bianchi, do you think that if these folks that are growing up in these dysfunctional families have no mentors or people to help them at least become positive contributing members of society, that they will perpetuate their stereotype?
Yeah, until some point in the future when they get about 40 years old and they realize that they're closely coming to that light at the end of the tunnel. But it's a problem. The situation, the social situation, the economic situation, which is brought about by another situation called education and the lack thereof, that's a problem. And there's only a tried, true, and tested way that have worked here in this country. Now, it may not be 100%, but I tell you what, it's more than 90. So I would follow it. I tried to do so with mine. It seemingly worked out pretty good.
Yeah, you did pretty good.
What way are you referring to?
I'm talking about how you raise your children and how you establish a family. You know, the old cliche is go to school, get an education, get a job, get married, raise a family, repeat it.
Yeah. But don't you think that's what the elite establishment in nutbags have done in order to maintain their power grab on the whole world system? And now we're facing, you know, World Economic Forum and all these nutty ideas that don't respect the rights of others to self-determine their own way of life and their own.
They can only have effect on you if you let it happen.
So you don't think that their resources and financial resources are going to give them a better position of leverage to force you to do what they want you to do?
Well, they're always going to have that. I mean, you're not going to overcome what if it's coming from certain factions, as we say, you're not going to overcome them. I mean, unless you like a Musk who's worth about $250 billion. But the thing is, you don't have to be worth that much. You just need to have a stable, God-fearing set of rules in your house. You know, people need rules to live by.
Or using the government to encroach on what's going on inside your house, then you ain't going to be able to compete with it. And what I'm referring to is, you know, these multinational corporations have their board of directors and their shareholders, all these elite, I don't know if elite's the right word, but these mega wealthy people affiliated with the world economic situation or the world economic forum, they have their hands in all these these industries, the military industrial complex, the big tech technocracy, the big pharma, I mean, you name it, whatever, the big insurance manipulation of the government, all these, for example, different people sit on the board of directors of all these multinational corporations. So they're on the board of directors of 20-some-odd different companies, and they continue to consolidate power and manipulate the masses. And you've heard the stories, you know, people like Bill Nye and Ted Turner and Bill Gates want a population of only 500 million. And you just heard Pfizer, the, I don't remember if he's the VP or president, at, I don't remember if it's the World Economic Forum or whatnot, but he says right on camera, hey, we're getting closer to achieving our goals, you know, of reducing the population by 50%. Right. I mean, he's bragging about it. And those people have resources from all these different industries because they have vested interest as an investor, shareholder, blah, 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 sit on the board of directors, and they all think alike, and they're all trying to, you know, pull the wool over the rest of us and use the system to manipulate your home and put you on either out on the street living under the bridge or on the government dole. They can sue you crazy because they got the money to keep you in court till you go broke, and then they put the guardianship over you and say that you can't manage your own finances, so now you're under their thumb.
Well, that don't work with everybody, and it don't work with the vast majority of people. It worked with too many of them, though.
Yep.
So you got to keep on fighting. And like I said before, you got to have control over your children because they are your voice for tomorrow.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying. They have control over their children. They're teaching their children all these techniques to keep us their legislative slaves and monetary slaves.
Yeah. Well, Donnie, you got 8 minutes, so I'm going to leave out of here before you pass the cup trying to get some kind of offering.
I think I'm going to go with you. I want to thank you and John Doe. That was very spirited, but very nice, friendly debate. That really was.
And I can't wait to see Joe and ask him, hey, man, where in the heck you go?
Yeah. Where'd you go,
Joe? Someplace to start eating and drinking.
Joanne, what the hell?
I think Lori know more than she's making out to be.
Yeah, she's got a couple phones. I think that's why she's quiet. I think they're having a little phone get-together.
I don't think so. No, I've been listening. I've been listening and eating.
Yeah, all indications say that you're right, Donnie. So I'll see you guys later. Anything come up, just get in touch the usual
you.
Way.
I
all right,
will.
See you later. See you later, right. John Doe.
See you, Lori. See you later, Bianchi. Have a great night.
You too.
Hopefully talk with you on Wednesday.
Wednesday night. You too have a great night. And Wednesday night, we'll be there because it is interesting. It really is. And if it's only an hour, I can hang. If I go to Facebook and remember.
I'll try to remember to send you the link to it, too, on Wednesday as well, so that it's handy, you know, in our little group chat thing.
Well, yeah, but the problem with that is I don't go to Facebook, if I do, I only stay there to look at the UAW stuff, and that takes about a minute, and I'm gone, or I leave it up and go somewhere else, and then when I notice it's up, I hit the X. But I'll try to remember to leave it up Wednesday.
I'll try
right on. Yes.
You, Cinnamon? You write it down on your little pad. Now, if you remember to show me that pad, we'll be all set. That's a problem, too. John Doe, nice hearing from you tonight. That was really good of you to show up. That was real nice. And Joanne, we'll get him Saturday night, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure he calls in, too.
Yeah, you will.
And explains himself.
Yes. Oh, my phone. No. We ain't going to believe that. One time he wanted to do a show, and he didn't show up at all.
Oops.
Yeah, oops is right. Oops,
and another
is right.
Time he was late by 20 or 30 minutes.
What's that?
I said, and there was another time that I remember. I don't remember the time that you were referring to where he didn't show up at all, but I remember one time a while back he was supposed to be the host of the show, and he didn't show up for the first 20 or 30 minutes.
Yes. Yes, maybe he did show up, but my mind is saying he didn't, and I'm going to stick with that until he tells me different. But I think
you got much more history with him than I do. I've been listening to your show for probably the last 2-3 years, and I think
you go about the same time as Joe, I would imagine. I don't remember when Joe started showing up. Lorianne's a newbie.
Great. Yeah, I'm the newbiest, I think.
Yeah, the newbiest. And the groovyest.
Hey, Joe is a good recruiter for you, Donnie. Not only did he bring you Lorianne, I've heard him. That's how I got wind of your show. And he's been on other shows, and he'll go in little bit about, this other show I'm on Saturday nights, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, he's like, hey, give us a call and check us out,
Yeah, yeah, and we've had a couple of some of his Democrat friends came to the show, and I put them on. Didn't agree with too much, We came to terms on a couple of things, but not many. Not many, and they never showed up again.
My humble opinion, some things don't need to be settled in a discussion in the sense that we need to just say, okay, you go live your life and do what you want to do as long as you don't harm other people, and I'll live my life and do what I'm going to do as long as I harm other people.
Exactly.
We don't do it that way. We have people that get into office and then they think they want to use the power of the government to beat us up or to divide and conquer so they can use it as a means to, raise revenue or whatever, or manipulate a situation to help their businesses or whatever it is.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, especially bad neighbors that like to stick their noses in everybody else's business. And the very second, what was that? I read that, one of the neighbors called the cops because they thought the 8-year-old or something was outside unsupervised and sicked the cops all on them and all that. And it's like, I think it was the mother was, along the side of the house weeding or some shit, and the neighbor didn't see that.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. It's like, if you're really all that concerned as a neighbor, then just fucking walk over. Hey, where's your mom? Find the mom yourself. Why do you fucking got to include the cops and stick the SWAT team on them for nothing,
It depends
on where you live. So, in certain parts of Chicago or whatever, you do that, you might end up seeing a drug deal. Now they're going to be killing you because they don't want you ratting out anybody.
Oh, that's true, too. You can't rat.
Yeah, this was a story that was suburbia. It wasn't one of those situations. It was just, mom's on the side of the house doing some weeding. The kids playing in the fucking, in their own front yard.
You know, and then the other neighbor just uses the cops as a way, and it's like, and it apparently wasn't like the first time that this neighbor had done that kind of thing. And we have way too many people out there doing that kind of shit. It's like, you know, they do it just to do it, just to fuck with their neighbor. And I don't know, because they have so much anger in life or something that they just can't keep their own business to themselves.
They did that in Texas. The lady had a fenced in backyard, and her two sons were out there playing, and the mom was doing dishes, looking out the window at them. Of course, they're in a fenced in backyard, and the neighbor called the police, and then the Child Protective Services came out, and all this crap this poor lady had to go through. It's amazing. Just amazing. But we'll talk about all that, you know, the next show. So everybody have a great night.
To be continued.
Yes, to be continued. And I hope I can get out of this. I don't know if I can, but we'll try. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Lorianne.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Boop, 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 boop.
Boom, boom,
good
boom, night, boom.
Sweetheart, it's time to go. Do, 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 do. There you go. There's nothing going. Everything's froze on this sucker.
I do not doubt it. Well, I guess once everybody hangs up, the show should end itself.
I can get it right here, I think. Good night, everybody. I think this will work this time. Good night.